Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Who's got the wiener schnitzel? Let's see, next we got roast beef au jus. Who's got the roast beef au jus? Last but not least, foot long. Who's got the foot long?
PFW in Progress.
Okay, gang, you know the rules. No humping, no pushing, no sniffing hymen.
With Fred Kirsch.
Will host a new host.
An annual
meeting of
the big one, International Preservation Society, tomorrow night.
Paul Perillo.
Hey, I guess they're right. Senior citizens, although slow and dangerous behind the wheel, can still serve a purpose.
Don't you go dying on me.
And Andy.
Nice set of Hooters you got there. The owls, they're beautiful.
Andy Hart.
Must have been following us for weeks.
What do you say?
How the hell did they know that I got gas?
Eric Scalavino.
I can't feel my fingers anymore. They're numb.
Maybe you should wear these extra gloves. My hands are starting to get sweaty.
Extra gloves? You've had this pair of extra gloves this whole time?
Yeah. We're in the Rockies.
For now, anyway.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Yeah! PFW in Progress.
You fellas been doing a bit of boozing, have you? Sucking back on Grandpa's old cough medicine?
Part of the Patriots Football Network.
Can I hear the most annoying sound in the world?
Guys!
Fellas, think we could listen to the radio or something?
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress as Andy spits up his food. You all right there, Andy? Okay, he's shoveling a calzone into his mouth. It is Thursday here at Gillette Stadium. Yesterday was a miserable day in the area, but today's a little nicer, windy, chilly. Not quite warm yet here in New England, but we'll take it. We'll take it. So
supposed to be gearing up for a great weekend.
Yeah.
In that regard.
So it'll be nice. And another reason why it's a great weekend is because the Patriots rookie minicamp begins tomorrow. And so we'll have a full day of coverage on Friday and Saturday on Patriots.com. Bill Belichick's press conference tomorrow. Photos, stories.
I won't be asking any questions.
Are you still sore about that?
I'm joking. I probably won't, though.
Well, we've been asked to tell you not to.
Fine with me.
So
never get any answers anyway.
But it's the first glimpse that we... we'll be able to get of these guys, you know, now in the Patriots system.
And who are you most excited about? I always like this, whether it's veterans you bring in training camp or now with the rookies. Who do you want to see the initial visual reaction?
Me? Asking me?
I asked you. I was looking right at you and I said you.
Well, geez, it's hard to...
Are you going
to
be out there with us?
I'll see if I can break away, although...
Meetings?
All morning,
a lot of meetings.
I'm very busy all morning.
Drawing pencils in a boardroom.
That's B-O-R-E-D room.
When he's there, it is.
Really, any of those second-round guys, and then including Hernandez later on, I'm excited about all of them. I guess Brandon Spikes. But this Hernandez guy is really intriguing me because I hear he gets good stuff. Oh, no, that's not why.
Jesus!
I can't believe you said that.
I'm just kidding.
I was actually thinking the same thing. I just can't believe you said it.
It's just a joke.
Congratulations, Paul. You're going to look good in that big office.
You will.
It's just a joke.
Andy can move right in on the side.
No, but we'll do what we've always wanted to do, put that window in with the slider so we can talk back and forth if we need to.
But I'm excited about Hernandez because, you know, again, versatility. Seems like a good athlete. Seems like the Patriots are going to be able to
He's named six picks already, by the way, that he wants to see.
You know, use him in a lot of different ways. Well, so
he's excited about the draft class, Andy.
So I'm excited about him, and I'm excited about Brandon Spikes. I think this guy has a chance to come in and make an immediate impact.
To me, it's two people based on speed, Spikes, and Price. One, to make sure he's not a stone who really can't move, who runs up, always looks like he's moving slower than five flat. And Taylor Price, I always like the guys that supposedly have great speed. I like to get that initial. Does he really have great speed? Does it jump off the field at you?
I'm excited about the Gronk. I want to see if his back is for real.
If he's using a walker.
Well, obviously, we're all interested in McCourty, for number one pick, but
I'm not sure any of us are.
Well, I kind of am.
I'm not sure anyone in New England is, based on the reception he's received.
I want to give the kid
the true gauge of a gunner unless it's live training camp action.
Good, Paul. Good point.
I'd actually like to see McCourty, too.
You got to play your own rim shot there.
Give your own rim shot.
Doc is like, wow, I'm just getting abused in here.
It's like a fucking stroke. Yep. I'm with Andy. Taylor Price would be my one guy, and for the exact reason that Andy said. Wide receiver, speed wide receiver. I want to see how fast he is. I want to see how he catches the ball. I always like to hear that noise when really good receivers catch the ball and there's like almost silence. Randy Moss, you never hear the ball when he catches it. Wes Welker, never hear it when he catches it. Ben Watson, nope.
Squealing.
Thud.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to hear that.
Right.
Rod Rutledge had the loudest noise of any Patriot ever. The ball used to slam off his shoulder pads and he would almost trap it there. I don't want to hear that. I want to see a nice fluid motion and soft hands.
No place for that on this
Taylor,
show, Doc.
Taylor Price is my guy. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be at any of the practices, so I don't know.
Why not?
I got things.
You got a thing? Or things?
Vacation.
Well, I should be there tomorrow afternoon.
Paul's actually allergic to rookies. That's why he skips the combine, skips all the pre-draft process, everything.
Call me when you're a starter.
If you get in the same room with Paul and a rookie, it's bad stuff.
You know what's funny, Fred?
What's that?
Everything Andy said is true, and yet we somehow find a way to predict the same amount of people coming to the Patriots.
Because the information I give you, like the information the scouts give Bill Belichick, is phenomenal.
Yeah, I can go 0-for-0 just like Andy does. You know,
but I didn't. I nailed a number of picks this year.
Hey, the next time. The next time he gets on you for being defensive, you can come back with this one. Another buffalo chicken wrap for you, huh?
My dad has been bringing the stuff home a lot lately. It's good. Well, at his place of business.
Oh yeah,
your dad did that. Whoa! Your dad makes buffalo chicken wraps?
No. They have a catering service there.
Free?
It's subsidized. They have
so
to pay
I'll put
a little
him
bit,
on the list for lunches in the future. You can bring in four of those stacked up with buffalo chicken wraps inside.
No, it's not his job to deliver.
So your
dad
is the office dudek? He just
for our family, yeah, he brings
he
stuff
just
home.
Brings stuff home from the office.
No, you have to pay for it. It's subsidized so that the prices are
Wiggle
very
it.
Reasonable.
Just a little bit.
Okay.
What the hell are you doing back there today?
That was dudek.
Oh, that was. No. Thankfully, I've never met the man.
Oh dear.
What were you saying, Andy? Oh, what I was thinking about between the two of you is next year you guys need to do separate mocks.
That's fine.
All right, fine.
You know, because then we can really see who's picking who.
Wait a minute. Does this mean I don't have to go to the combine again next year?
We know you're not going. We've accepted that fact. You've done a good job of removing yourself from that area of
I'll
of
let
our
you know
job.
when the winter season gets underway.
I just hope there's a CBA by that point.
That's a good point.
There may not be.
That's a good point.
There won't be.
In which case, we're not going to the combine.
No, they'll still have a combine.
Because there's still a draft.
There'll be a combine.
Are we still going to get paid to go?
Yes. We need to hold on to those paychecks at that point as long as possible. Because
like
when the draft ends, then they might really say, no, we don't need you anymore.
Right. You mean you're not starting Revolution Soccer Weekly?
No.
RSW and Broadway.
Speaking of other content, how was Belo's show yesterday?
We had no emails.
Why?
Which was great. But
and I'm not trying
was
to
it promoted?
Be funny.
Was it promoted, though, that he was going
to
do a show?
I'm shocked because...
The only tweet we got was from Chris. I asked the other guy to tweet it to Real Patriots, and it never happened.
I don't understand what, you know, why
the other guy?
He didn't get any audience
Real
because everybody wanted the show. It's great content.
We had two great guests yesterday, too.
Who'd you have?
We had Andy's buddy McEgo for a follow-up on
He's a very nice man. Don't
post-draft.
Ever say that again.
And ESPN.com's SEC writer to break down our SEC picks.
Nice. So hopefully a lot of
what
people
What did
you will...
say about Cade Weston?
So
did
that...
you compare him
to
anyone?
To any NFL player?
Download the podcast.
That is available on Patriots.com as a podcast, so you can listen to the B-Low by downloading it, and or just going to patriots.com. And
this is John Hanna, Patriot Hall of Famer. Download the podcast now.
Right, John.
He gets madder every time he says that.
Yeah, is this all different ones or same day, different takes?
Same one.
Oh. Sounds different.
Fewer yeah, working.
Sounds madder.
You get more angry with the take, too.
Hey, so, I'm... Okay.
All right.
He screwed up with I'm John Hanna.
So, guys, do we have any news to share with Patriots Nation since Tuesday?
Joey Galloway signed with the Redskins.
Yeah, that was kind of odd.
Even odder that Mike Shanahan was here in camp and saw that he couldn't play here.
Right. Why is everybody making such a big deal about Ryan Clady's injury? Is this like a is this bigger than I think it is, or just people?
It's a bad
in
injury.
Terms of what?
But who Ryan Clady is?
Oh, no. Like, yeah, it's bigger than you think it
yeah.
is.
He's a stud.
One of the best tackles in football.
Yeah.
Okay.
You never heard of him, have you?
No, I have heard of him, but I didn't know that, you know.
No,
like,
that's a big-time injury.
Yeah.
Plus, it's a serious injury.
Well, I know it's a serious injury for him.
He is the best young tackle in football.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I think Jake Long personally is overrated, way overrated. And I think Clady is next in line.
Yeah, and I'm not going to pretend to be able to break down every
I will.
Every
that's
offensive
what I do.
Lineman. Yeah, well, maybe that's why that's where the difference comes.
And?
That's why that's what you get for going to the combine.
I'm often right. Thank you.
Yeah, you were one for one in that regard on Big Cat Williams, which was very funny. Admittedly,
I'm more
very,
than one for one.
A very humorous story.
I thought Iapati was good. I got him drafted in the top half of the first round.
You and everybody else thought he. You are unreal. Ryan Clady is the real deal. He's considered exactly what Andy said, the best young tackle, and a lot of people think he is one of the best. Period.
And he pulled a Perillo. Hear himself playing pickup
basketball. So,
yet somehow they expect him to be ready for the season. I guess it was a partial.
That's even the more remarkable part of the story.
And he was telling me Josh had a press conference, and they asked him when he would be ready, and he said the injury report would be available in September, and then he laughed.
Right.
I like that.
That's good.
I think that's just incredible, that especially a guy his size, all the weight that has to be distributed down to that area, and he's going to try to.
Talking about Paul or Clady now?
No, talking about Clady. That he plans on being back by season? I mean, that's ridiculous. I can't believe that. That's I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. All right. So I'm wrong. So it did deserve all the attention it got yesterday.
Yes.
Okay. All right. What else do we have? I was mentioned Joey Galloway signing with the Redskins. You know, some guys just keep hanging on.
We talked about the Price video the other day. Is that right? We found a. Thanks to strippers who sent us a link for a Devin McCourty video.
Yep.
It was ESPN Sports Science kind of thing.
Yep.
There were like three players that they suited up and had do things, and McCourty was one of them. He was the defensive back in those drills. And
they tell you a ton of stuff, which you have no idea what it means. Like he runs 19.6 miles per hour forwards and reaches 80% of that in his back pedal. Now I need you to tell me what Champ Bailey does.
Comparing that to...
You know what
right,
I mean?
Right.
You have no... Measuring, you know,
right.
something to compare it to. So, but it was a cool. I like personally the thing I took from it. I like that he put himself out there.
Yeah,
that he's willing to do that. Basically, the whole Deion Sanders. I'm fast. I know I'm fast. I have no problem showing you I'm fast. Well, yeah. I'm willing to show you what I can do.
I like when they did the sprint. They had the lasers at different intervals, so you could see where he was at the different portions of the run. Why don't they do that at the combine? I mean,
I don't know. Maybe they will now.
You know. Because that measures your quickness as well as your flat-out speed for the 40.
Mm-hmm.
It's the age-old question, Fred.
You know? Why don't they have the top technology
nature
at the combine?
Nature versus nurture?
I don't understand.
It's a different age-old question.
You know? Anyway, webradio at patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482. Want to send a big thank you out to Chris from Stanford, who does a great job on his own on Patriots Daily. He does a lot of interviews with prospects before the draft. He was nice enough to send us lunch and an email. He says, hope the food arrived okay. It certainly looked good on paper. I said it before, but it's worth repeating. Great job on the draft coverage this year. It's 1 week later from day one, and I think we're all feeling better about the Devin McCourty. He writes it out phonetically.
Good.
One question, and I'd be interested in everyone's answer. For this weekend, if you could...
Even Eric's? Stop it.
If you could only ask one question of two rookies, which rookies would they be, and what would you ask of each? I was thinking, and I'd ask Zoltan Mesko if he's gotten in touch with the Patriots Hungarian fan club yet, and for Pat Paschal, how a kid from Georgia ends up at North Dakota State. Hope you guys are doing well. Have a great weekend. Looking forward to the rookie reports. About Mesko, as soon as we picked him, I emailed the president of the Hungarian fan club and got her reaction and hooked her up with Eric.
I got your email.
In a professional sort of way.
I thought we had a scoop.
No. So did you, have you talked to her
body
yet?
Slammed him.
Not yet.
Why not?
We've had more pressing things to do. I'll get to it, Fred. Do we need to do a feature on the guy this week?
No, at least, then. At least get her on the line.
I will when there's time.
Jeez.
Would you rather I get in touch with her, or would you rather I finish, you know, my first down commentary?
Even has problems with women, even when it's for a story, like
in another continent. It's just an email.
Okay,
that's all I'm asking.
I'll get to it.
Unexcused.
I'm not asking you to paint her picture, which I would know. I would have no chance at happening. But. So, anyway, Paul, you done with your lunch? You ready to contribute?
Yes. Hungarian or Romanian?
Well, but
he's Hungarian.
Hold on.
Then maybe he could. Maybe he has done a picture of her then. I thought you meant Romanian.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Yeah, funny. funny guy. Just to clear this confusion up, there are a few of our readers who were on the blog wondering. Mesko is Hungarian by lineage.
Right.
He was born in Romania.
Right.
So he's, you know, of Romanian.
He was a Romanian citizen at
right.
the time, right?
He's of Hungarian descent,
right?
So he speaks both languages and he speaks German.
Wow!
So there was a little confusion as to where I thought he was Romanian, he was Hungarian, right. whatever. It's both,
right?
So he's of Hungarian descent, but of Romanian nationality right. as far as being a citizen of that right. country.
So like you were born in North Providence,
Providence, yeah, technically,
right?
Okay. Did you hear he was the captain at Michigan, Fred?
Yes, I did.
It's very interesting.
First special teamer ever to be a captain at
really?
Michigan.
Really? Yes. Not just punter, but special teamer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is this kid all...
Desmond Howard?
He's got a big leg, this guy.
He's a lot more than a special teamer at Michigan.
He does. He needs to work more on his directional, situational type punter.
In your estimation, will he be the Patriots punter this year?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Without having seen any of the competition yet on the field, I'm going to say yes. Just like
that?
When they drafted...
Is that a man or a woman?
Andy's pointing to the TV.
On Fox News, where you usually see hot blondes, you see a man wearing a blonde wig. Who is this person?
I think it's Steve Jobs in a wig.
It kind of does look like Steve Jobs.
Is it Rear Admiral O'Hara?
Easy.
In the name.
What is that? Is that a man or a woman?
I don't know. But
that's a man,
like,
baby.
Andy, I do need to remind you we're on the radio.
And I would urge our listeners to go to Fox News Channel right now.
Yeah, let's
to
take
see
it
an
away
amazing,
from us.
No, their TV is on in the background, just like ours.
Is this a gag?
That was definitely a man at one time.
I'm saying right now.
Without a doubt.
You give him the Croc Dundee test, and you're getting a handful.
I mean,
there
see,
is a handful down there.
I can see the 5 o'clock
that's
shadow
Croc
growing
Dundee.
While she's talking. All right. What else, guys? Anything? Nothing?
I don't know. What
we're
else
just,
you got?
We're just gearing up for the rookie minicamp tomorrow?
Well, I have something.
And the next
I don't
issue.
Know if this is the appropriate
the
time.
Next issue is a very
how many
comprehensive.
Pages, by the way?
40 pages.
40, okay.
Kept it to 40.
Full, though. Yeah. Full 40.
But it's a full 40. Yeah. And there's a lot of stuff that I think the...
We usually half-ass them at 40.
our listeners will really be interested in this because we do, as Eric alluded to, as in-depth a profile as anybody else is doing it, not on just Devin McCourty, on all 12 picks.
Right.
So, you know, Andy's been talking to, you talked to Cade Weston yesterday.
Cade Weston.
I had a chance to talk to Thomas Welch. Some of the guys that weren't available on conference calls during the draft in the seventh round. I talked to Zach Robinson's offensive coordinator at Oklahoma State. So there's some information, I think, that comes in this issue that you're not going to find in the other papers. So
Eric even got a quote from Nick Saban on Brandon Dederick.
Thanks. Thanks to some help.
Yeah. So that's great. I bet
so
we're
that'll
the only
be out
place
next,
that has Nick Saban
next
quoted.
Tuesday.
Maybe.
Maybe. That'll be out, right? It goes to print next Tuesday morning. So next Tuesday afternoon, you can look for that on your newsstands. And those
mid-May,
of you who already
you can
subscribe.
Look for it in your mailbox.
Andy Hart, who doesn't want to work here anymore.
And if you are interested in subscribing.
1-800.
1-800-494-PATS.
PATS.
That's 1-800-494-PATS.
Pats. And if you're listening overseas, go to pfwonline.com. There's a special international-only exclusive offer that you can get it online for a reduced price.
So you Romanians, you Hungarians, you Trinidadians.
So, good stuff. 1-800-494-PATS.
That's it. That might be it. Germans for Vollmer from last year. Jamaicans.
Yeah.
We're really growing, Patriots
Although,
Nation.
Although I'm a little jealous because
Patriots
the
United
Bills
Nation.
Were drafted the first player
Chinese,
that has
right?
Chinese
Oh,
parents.
The Wanger.
Ed Wang.
Oh, Ed Wang?
Yeah.
Joins the
Olympic soccer players
joins
for China.
The line of Levitra and Wood.
Yes, we right? got it. We talked about that already.
Yeah, I believe one
it's
of our
the all erection line.
I believe one of our listeners wrote in with that, right?
Yeah,
erection year in Buffalo.
Wood, Levitra, and Wang.
It is an erection year, right? And an
you know what's funny? What are the odds that you don't draft a Johnson in a particular
it's true,
year?
True, right? And there was a Bob Johnson available.
There's always a Johnson. You can always get a Johnson.
So they drafted a Wang. They put him next to Levitra, and he became a Wood.
And I think they drafted a Johnson last year, a tight end, right?
I
no,
that's so.
Nelson, not Johnson. Sean Nelson. Too bad.
I hear he was a real stiff.
Oh!
It's always got to take a
wow.
one step too far.
Wow.
Can I talk about this idiocy over the Dez Bryant interview and Jeff Ireland asking
sure.
if his mother was a prostitute?
Yep.
I want to read to you the quote from Demoris Smith, head of the NFLPA, yesterday.
What did Michael Silver have to say?
Michael Silver's the one that really called out Ireland. It was like
yeah, Michael
him.
Silver's an idiot.
I can't stand him.
Why doesn't he go get high with Dez Bryant?
Well, that's why he talks like that.
Or Hernandez, as Fred pointed out. We need to make sure the men of this league are treated as businessmen, Smith said in a statement. During interviews, our players and prospective players should never be subjected to discrimination or degradation stemming from the biases or misconceptions held by team personnel. NFL teams cannot have the free rein to ask questions during the interview process, which can be categorized as stereotyping or which may bring a personal insult to any player as a man. The most ridiculous statement I've ever read.
Okay.
Asinine.
Andy Hart feeling passionate about this. Go.
He'll be talking fast soon. Stay tuned.
Stereotyping or bring personal insult
Usually
or directly related to the player's mother's past doing jail time for crack. To me, that's not stereotyping. It's not like he had a list of questions for all black prospects from single mothers. I ask, is she a prostitute? No. It's a specific player with a specific background. I mean, there's quotes from his college coaches. I dropped him off at 7 different places he called home at the various points during his career. From trailer park to trailer park, he would call home. Moved in with his father, his mother. His mother was in jail. His mother was out of jail. There's a guy here with a history of family turbulence and legal issues. I don't think that's outside. First of all, I think teams can ask whatever they want. You want to work for me, I'm going to ask you questions. You don't want to answer them, walk out the room. I won't draft you. But teams, to me, have the right, before they hand a guy millions of dollars, to find out everything there is to know about he and his family that could affect him moving forward.
Okay, I have a couple of thoughts, too. Fred.
Yes.
As a guy that you've emailed, you've interviewed a lot of people during your time here. There are some specific laws.
Yes.
In terms of what you, I mean, you're not even allowed to ask if a person's married.
Well, right. You're not even allowed to ask if they have a car, because that could be discriminatory in an economic basis.
Right.
You can say, do you have transportation? Can you, in other words,
can you get here? Can we reasonably expect
right.
you to get here to your place right. of work? So where would that fall into?
This country is going down.
Is this an interview per se?
Freaking ridiculous!
You know, at the combine when they're talking to all these players, is it a job?
Is it a job?
I know. Like we always say, it's a business. We have all these cute little sayings for sports
right.
that don't really
words,
relate to real
does
life.
It come under
is this
the laws?
Actually an interview?
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, and would that be over the line in terms of against the law? I mean, I think we can all admit it's in bad taste. Whether I think Andy's 1,000%.
I don't think it's in bad taste.
See,
I think it's
Andy,
a good business.
I think it depends on how it's asked.
See, I think Andy's 1,000% right. I think
no
Andy's 1,000% right on this. This is not discrimination in any. You know, if Jeff Ireland asks all of his black single parent wide receivers
right.
whether or not their mother's a prostitute, then you could maybe get into this. There's something.
And
to
not
this.
Any of the other receivers.
Okay, and
right.
listen. I
they
think,
enter the room and it's white player questions,
yeah,
black
right.
player, you
I
know,
think
single
Fred,
mother questions.
I think Fred's right. There's other ways to go about doing this. But there's a lot of stuff that's come out after this, and that's one of them, the D. Smith quote that Andy read. I don't know if you guys saw Mike Ditka, who got really upset about Jeff Ireland. He was, like, really adamant about it. This clown, he's asking these kinds of questions. And they asked him after he goes through this whole rant, well, what kind of questions? What do you want to know? What were you looking for? And he said, I want to know – you know, about the player. I don't want to know about the player's parents. I don't want to know this, that. I want to know about the person I'm drafting. Is he a tough guy? Is he a football guy? Is he smart? Is he going to be one of those foxhole guys? Is he going to get in a foxhole with you and fight with you?
See, that's why Ditka never lasted, because he's an idiot.
But here's the thing. Whatever you want to say about his philosophy, I want to take it to Dez Bryant. Is it possible that Jeff Ireland wants to see the reaction that Dez Bryant's going to have to a question? Jeff Ireland's not dumb. Mm-hmm. He knows it's a borderline question. He knows it's probably something that potentially could set Dez Bryant off.
Or anybody off.
Jeff Ireland may have very well been wanting to know, is this a foxhole guy?
Mm-hmm.
If I say something on the field as a cornerback and say, how's your prostitute mother doing? Mm-hmm. Is that going to cost me 15 yards?
Right. Is he going to go and retaliate?
Or am I going to have a wide receiver who's going to spend the rest of the day, instead of worrying about catching passes, he's going to worry about getting his cornerback back? I think it's reasonable to say why the question was asked.
See, I think you can take it to a far less reaching limit.
I agree with Fred.
It's reasonable to say that if his mother is involved with crack and potentially involved with prostitution, is it ridiculous to think that living that kind of lifestyle with those kinds of people on the periphery that she could just show up on a Saturday night in Miami and say, my pimp's trying to kill me, and all of a sudden this blows.
And he's going to get there.
That's a legitimate issue if that's the kind of lifestyle this guy's mother is leading.
I agree with Fred that there's probably other ways to ask it without being so crass.
But that could have been a test.
But I think this is an I think it absolutely was. I think Jeff Ireland wanted to see how he reacted. It's just like if you're doing your job as a reporter, and we, God knows, none of us do around here because we all get walked all over. Okay, but if you want to see, if you have a question that gets asked, a lot of times you know the answer to it, but you want to see the guy's reaction mm-hmm. to how he answers the question. And how many times do we sit there and say, we know Bill's not going to answer that?
Mm-hmm.
I want to see how he doesn't answer that controversial question.
Does he berate Eric when he asks about Dunlap?
I think that Jeff Ireland, he knows that he's going over the line a little bit. He wants to see what Dez Bryant reacts. By all accounts, he reacted very well.
The problem here is the hypocrisy that is giving a 22-year-old person millions and millions of dollars in their first job and then treating them like they're just a kid coming out of college.
Couldn't agree with you more,
that's
Fred.
That's the problem.
I couldn't agree. That's why these whole, what I said at the beginning, these cute little transitions from real life to sports, they don't work.
Right.
Because in no other line of work, I mean, doctors, lawyers, they go to school for years. They don't make multi-millions of dollars at age 20.
Right, and then they have to pay back what they just, all their tuition.
Now, I know that Ireland issued an apology. I didn't see or read the full apology, but...
Well, he even called him.
Yeah, he contacted Bryant and apologized to him personally.
Right, but he also issued an apology, too, didn't he? A written one?
Yeah, he did.
Did he say any of what you just said, Paul, that he was doing it to try to, as a test, to see how the player would react?
I didn't read anything along those lines.
Because I'd be very disappointed if he didn't. You know, if that's really what he was trying to do, just come out and say it. You know, if you want to apologize to the player and say, hey, look, you know, it's after the fact, I just want you to know, I did this, explaining himself and why he did it. I don't think he needs to go out and issue a public apology.
Yeah. See,
if that's what he was really doing. Now, if he was just being a jerk, then of course he needs to come out issue an apology.
We don't know exactly how it was asked, like what were the line of questions that led to it. We don't know if it was, if there was a logical sequence that led up to that, finally the final question was, was your mother a prostitute?
Or if it was the first thing right out of the gate.
Like you're Dez Bryant, Eric, and I start out the interview. Look, Dez, I'm going to ask you a lot of questions. A lot of them might be uncomfortable, but I really do want to know the answers to these in an honest way.
Yeah.
Because if we pick you, we're going to make you blah, blah, blah. So then, your mother had a lot of problems. Can you talk about some of those? He talks a little bit on the surface. Well, there was an incident where she was arrested. Do you remember that? What was the reason for that? Well, was she a prostitute? Okay, that's, to me, a logical sequence of questioning.
I agree.
And if that's the way it came out, and then afterwards Dez Bryant said to somebody, he asked me if my mother was a prostitute.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God, that sounds wrong on the surface. But if it was asked that way, I think that's reasonable.
Yeah, I'm with you.
But we don't know.
But even to Paul's point, even if it was just a regular, what's your favorite color? What do you like to do? All these things, and all of a sudden, was your mother a prostitute?
Right.
To Paul's point,
a defensive back could say that to him out on the football field, and he goes and smacks the guy in the face mask
on the field every week
and gets tossed out of the game.
Will now.
Right, but
he wants to see how the guy's going to react.
Well, I don't see that. That's where I say I'm not sure about that, because now you're, you know.
No, but the thing is, and Andy's original point is dead on. It's the people are making this out to be this question came out of left field. Like, where on earth did this guy come up with this question? There is a lot. I mean, I don't know. I'm not going to pretend that I know every fact about Dez Bryant's mother, but I do know, according to reports, that she was arrested for selling drugs. So I don't think it's unreasonable for that, and I don't want to get into a whole socioeconomic thing, but I don't think it's unreasonable to expect her have done other things.
And it was crack. And there is a phrase in the American culture called crack. Can I say the word?
Rhymes with bore?
Yes.
Well, there's no need to, but, you know.
It's a real word. It doesn't come from fiction. It comes from that lifestyle, that drug addiction, what it leads women to do. Correct?
But I think that people look at this and they think, you know, absolutely, it's logical to think that, to ask questions about it, but let's show a little bit of sensitivity. I mean, we're not preparing them to fight the Nazis in Nazi Germany and to go on the front line of battle. We're getting ready to go into an NFL team. There's no reason to be out there throwing bombs at these kids, even though we are going to be paying them millions of dollars. They deserve to be treated with respect.
Right, and that's the only thing. That's the only thing I would have issue with. Like, all this other stuff, I don't have a problem with it. I don't have a problem with the direct phrasing. The only time my neck hair kind of stood up was when Eric said, "What's your favorite color? Is your mother a prostitute?" To me, that's ridiculous.
Your mom goes to college.
But if it was anything other than that, I have no problem with the exact wording. Was your mother a prostitute? If it's, you obviously have some red flags.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
The way Fred painted it, I thought was perfect.
That one. What's your favorite color? Followed by, is your mother? To me, that's disrespectful and ridiculous.
I just think, you know.
No, just I'm saying, like, an out of the
blue
question.
That's what I mean. Yeah, doing it like that. So, did you have a nice steak last night?
But what if he did that?
Is your mother a prostitute?
What if he said, what if he used that tactic on every prospect that they interviewed?
I think the guy would be a jerk.
Yeah, I think he'd be out of a job.
I mean,
Tim Tebow comes in. Did he say,
eventually,
is your mother
he's going to get punched in the face, and that's going to end. Because not all guys are going to take it.
Right. Someone will reach over the table and.
My mother's a what?
And now, then, see, if he had gotten,
and he goes, yeah, that's the kind of player I want. Hit me again.
Right. You know, he had Deion Sanders was his little tutor, mentor, whatever. If he had come to PFW in Progress for his pre-draft training, he would have responded to that by calmly saying, no, she's not, but I heard yours is.
Right, right.
And then just calmly smiled and moved on to the next question.
I'm not, no.
No, that's what he would have got from you. No, not answering that.
No,
not good radio.
Telling lies. Well, you are an habitual liar.
He could have said that too, right?
But I think
any chances comes from Parcells, by the way.
I think a lot of
down
it
down the pipeline.
I mean, Parcells has been known, not for that, but to break down guys and build them back up.
Right, but I'm saying, is there any chance he gave of Ireland a guide of if we're considering him, you need to
dig in.
Yeah, and that's what the item I read on Florio about Ditka. Actually said that at the bottom, you know, maybe this was, you know, a way for Ditka to sort of take a shot back at Parcells, who, you know, they were big rivals back in the late 80s with the Giants in Chicago. So maybe that had something to do with it. So clearly people are looking at this. Yeah, Jeff Ireland's the one who said it, right. But they're still looking at it. It's Parcells.
So anyway.
Much like if a Patriots employee said something, one of the Patriots scouts or something. Did this,
if Casario asked it.
This would fall on Bill.
Right.
So anyway.
But it's Ireland whose name has been kicked around in the last couple of days.
Yeah.
You know, I think the public's first knee-jerk reaction, and I'm glad it is, wow, you know, we should probably be a little bit more humane and sensitive. You know, even if it's true. I'm sure the kid's not proud of that. And, you know, he's living with that fact every day. And now he's trying to escape that. You know, so let's be a little bit sensitive in how we do it. And the way it was brought up in the public was, like we said, it was just out of the blue. It probably wasn't. But I don't know. Maybe it was. I've heard, you know, is it just Ditka that said that Jeff Ireland's a jerk? I heard
no,
somebody else said
report.
That.
There's been reports.
Maybe, Michael Silver wrote an unbelievably scathing piece. He called him, he had a name for him. I forget exactly what it was, but it wasn't flattering, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's
so maybe people in the know tied that question with who Jeff Ireland is or who they think he is, and that's where the problem came.
Could be.
You know, if it was Floyd Reese, who we know and met, and,
really nice guy. If he asked that question, we probably can be assured that it was in a contextual basis that led up to it in a sensitive, humane way.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe this Jeff Ireland guy's a jerk. I don't know. I've never met the guy. You know. So. Anyway. All right. Webradio at Patriots.com. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. Get some emails. Got Dan in Delaware on the phone. We'll get to him right after this.
Call or email PFW in progress. Your input is always welcome.
Wrong. Try again, dumbass.
Patriots.com radio.
Just found out American Airlines flies to more than 250 cities in 40 countries. That's a lot of flying. So basically, that's 250 different things that I can put on my out-of-office auto reply. Why, I could say, island hopping in Hawaii, returning Friday. This is going to be fun. Better yet, swimming with whale sharks in Cancun back on... Wait, that sounds dangerous. Oh, I know. How about samba dancing in Rio back on Monday? Wish you were here. Well, not really. But with flights to over 250 cities in 40 countries, it's easy to get wherever I want to go on American. Even if it just happens to be sales meeting in Des Moines back tomorrow.
What will you put on your out-of-office reply? 250 cities, 40 countries, unlimited possibilities. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Okay, so to recap, these are last year's sales results, and here's how we stand now. I need some clutch players who can get us some numbers up on the board. Ted.
Yes, sir.
In the fourth quarter.
Fourth quarter.
We've come from behind in the fourth quarter before. Ted.
What?
I need you here in the shotgun. Put on this helmet.
It's a garbage can.
Do it.
But it's dark in here.
Susan.
Yes?
What? You're going to reverse right and then break left at the cubicle.
What?
I am.
Let's go!
Mr. Krevelin?
That was awkward.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
You got
it? Yes.
What?
Yes.
What?
You can take the trash can off now.
What?
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services and Bank of America NA member PIC. Copyright 2009 Bank of America Corporation.
Whoa.
The 75th NFL Draft may be over, but the Patriots Pro Shop has everything to get you geared up for the 2010 season. The Patriots Pro Shop has the widest selection of Patriots gear anywhere, including many items that you can't get anywhere else. Be the first to get the 2010 Draft hat that you saw the NFL's newest players wear on draft day at the Patriots Pro Shop. Can't get to the stadium? Log on to PatriotsProShop.com and get your Pats merchandise directly from the source. You'll know it's authentic when you purchase from PatriotsProShop.com because your item will be shipped directly from Gillette Stadium. With a huge selection of Patriots items for men, women, kids, and infants, the Patriots Pro Shop has something for everyone. The Patriots Pro Shop at Gillette Stadium is open year-round Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Or shop 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room. And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
When we played at Reliant in the Super Bowl, remember how humid it got at the end of the
really,
game?
Really hot.
It was very humid, and the grass got slippery.
But they take that field out, you know.
In trays.
Yes, they do, but right. It stays out in the parking lot.
But if it goes in moist, it doesn't dry.
You're such a chuckle.
Really? Yeah, I can't help it.
I got it, too.
No,
you got to make it.
You didn't laugh out loud. Parts of it will stay hard, and other parts...
Jesus.
The end zones were sided.
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
All right, back here we have some immediate reaction to our Dez Bryant talk.
I'm going
to
guess it's not really positive.
No, but first let's get to Dan in Delaware on the phone. Dan, how you doing? Thanks for holding on.
Pretty good. Good to talk to you guys. Haven't talked to you in a while.
What's up, Dan?
Hey, Andy, was that really you that asked Larson in the interview how it was going to feel the first time Brady came under center with him?
Yeah.
You asked him that?
I said, you know, we like to ask receivers what it's going to be like to catch a pass from Tom Brady. What's it going to be like for you when he puts his hands under center?
You did not.
He did. I just thought that. Didn't. And he did it serious, too, as if, like, he didn't really mean to say what he was asking.
I did. I pulled it off well. I enjoyed it. Made myself laugh on
it's
day three of
we
the draft.
Have jobs here.
It's at the 4:10 mark in that interview. it's got to be a soundbite every now and then.
But he didn't play along at all.
No, he felt sounded uncomfortable for a minute there.
Yeah.
I don't blame him.
I enjoyed it.
Hey, and along those lines, did you happen to catch the Mesko photograph in the Boston Globe, that AP photo?
No. Which one?
It goes through all the draft picks, and I forget which number pick it is, but I put it up on the PFW in Progress forum, the picture itself.
Yep.
They photoshopped the picture so that Mesko's left pointer finger is inside the fly of the coach.
What? Whoa,
what?
No wow. kidding.
And he's actually in the Globe?
Have that kind of relationship with Belichick.
So he's a fly fisherman.
That's weird. That is weird. I'll have to check that out. You said it's on
pfwinprogress.com. Yeah, if you go to the Patriots section of the forum, it's there. And if you go to the Boston Globe and just look at all the pictures they have of all the draft picks, it's right there.
Huh. I'll have to check that out after the show.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty funny. Anyway, I just wanted to call you on that. And I just want to say, Andy, you've got a big brass pair of them. That's
oh, thank
sure.
you. I agree.
All right.
See you, Dan.
Thanks,
Dan.
Take care. Bye-bye.
By the way, Matt in Quincy says the person on Fox News that we were talking about was John Clayton with a blonde wig.
Yes. Yes. I'm with Matt.
Okay.
See, so some people do have TVs and they can see and listen at the same time.
Hey, girl.
That's the stark contrast.
Well, order,
when you see
order
blonde
has been
hair,
restored
that's what you're supposed to see.
Yes.
They even have one. You guys need to keep an eye out for this. Their Doctor's A-Team.
Oh, yeah.
This. And the blonde doctor
yes.
has the biggest,
know,
fakest
phenomenal.
Tatas that I've ever seen. And she's like their medical expert. Yeah, phenomenal.
Yeah. One of the
order has
team.
Been restored on Fox News. My girl's back and looking very, very lovely today in pink.
Al says, greetings again from Valdosta, the prettiest little city in America, especially this time of year. One thing we need to clear up. Do not ever expect me to buy you guys lunch. Not that I'm cheap. It's just that from the looks of things, a couple of you would be well advised to skip lunch from time to time.
Which two that is.
Fred, I think that's us. and we never, by the way, expect anyone
never.
To buy us
no.
lunch.
Never.
We are very appreciative, but we do not ever expect it.
Yeah, while Fred's reading that update handed to him by Tamash, I need to say, Mick from Ireland, your
yes.
stable diet food, the horse food you sent us
delicious.
From the stables.
We love
rave
it.
Reviews
tremendous.
Around the office.
Stablediet.com.
The one downside shared. That my wife pointed out, because I brought some home and she really liked them, the one square thing she ate had like 20 grams of fat in it. So they taste good, but there's a reason. Apparently they put like a half a stick of butter in them.
Yeah.
But they
and
are
the,
very
and the
good.
The sugar, the brown cane sugar.
And
it?
Like most things, they go right through me.
Yeah,
but that's
and we've
a
shared
topic.
Them throughout the office too, because you know, he sent so much. I mean,
they even appealed to Miss Miserable.
Wow.
Maura Wilson
she's
actually
Irish.
Liked them.
She's
she
Irish.
Is Irish, but I was still a little surprised. Nothing makes her happy.
If it
she
involves,
enjoyed one.
If it at all involves fun, usually she's
well,
against that.
She's just upset in that the fact that people send us things and buy us.
Oh
money.
Yes, that's
oh,
part of
very,
it.
Very very jealous.
She is,
very jealous. Fred.
She is Ferris Bueller's sister personified.
Yes.
Yes.
She really is.
She is.
Well done. Well done.
That's a
right
good call.
She
Fred.
Just doesn't
well
understand.
Done. Right now, Maura's shaking her head upstairs, like, what?
She's not listening. No,
she doesn't
she's not
get
listening.
The love.
No, Carol's probably listening.
Oh, that's
she
true.
Could hear it.
She
yeah,
did
true.
Suggest that you contact. I forgot the
we
name of the
you,
store,
Maura.
But in the Southie, there's some store that sells pretty much only Irish imported goods.
Oh yeah.
So he might want to look into that and get them
we'll
on the
get
shelves.
The name.
Of...
We'll give it to Mick, and they'll become a distributor for Stable Diet.
That's right,
Mick Dundee.
And Mick, I need you to email in and let us know if there's any play on words with Stable Diet, not just the stability of your diet, but horse stables. Because the agreement,
I'm sure it is.
The agreement outside of anybody but Fred Kirsch is that there is a play on words.
I'm not necessarily on board with that.
They want people to, you know,
horses eat
think
grains.
Eating, you know, horse food.
Horses eat grains.
Okay.
They grow really big, strong, and fast.
Right.
Hung like a horse. There's a lot of good things
oh,
for being a horse.
Okay. I'm sure that's what they want to have people. Okay. Anyway, keeping on with Al's email.
Eric almost swallowed.
If you have to pee like a horse, is that a good thing, too?
Oh, I say that all the time.
Right.
Just like a racehorse?
You're making all these things
why,
that
do they
people
not,
are looking
do they
for.
Not let racehorses pee before races or something?
No, but have you ever seen one do it?
No.
No.
Oh, my God. It's like a fire hose. When did you have the chance to watch a horse?
Going
why?
To the Derby, huh?
Why do you ask? Why? You just lost the next half hour.
I can tell you my horse story.
Horse walks into a stall and stands next to Fred. I
knew there would be a story.
On?
We got to hear it.
My sister used to show horses when we lived down the Cape, so I've been around the paddocks before.
The paddocks.
Sure.
Andy Hart, this is your fault.
I just want to point out, he makes fun of us when we say he grew up the rich life on the Cape, but they were showing horses.
She didn't own them. She just...
Right, yeah. You had the tough life. Yeah. I actually...
We sold the horses.
I believe you, Fred, because there's the cemetery where my family has some plots. They have a horse farm there.
Right.
There's a paddock, and they have horses there constantly.
Right.
It's unbelievable. When they have to relieve themselves,
yeah.
It is. It's like... it's yeah. Wow.
You don't want to get near that. There's a lot of collateral damage.
Yes, Eric, but you didn't work there for 2 years once, you know, during the, you know, when you were 16 and 17 like Fred did.
You worked
there, too?
I just
picture
Fred staring at a horse while it's being like, oh, my God.
I've ridden a horse bareback.
Oh, my God.
I have.
Poor
it
horse.
It wasn't me. The horse was. These things really
no, are. You're
very
hair
good,
back.
Fred.
No,
very good. You still had the man groomer.
Yeah. Let's see. Al goes on to say, I don't know whether the question asked to Dez Bryant was discriminatory, but I do know the question was way out of bounds, silly, and stupid. Ask all the questions you want to the player about the player, but when you bring in family members, you risk crossing the line. Now, if you have a reason, such as if this is a role playing in some way to test the player in some way, then it seems to me the team needs to make
That's
that clear up front.
Maybe they did.
But that kind of defeats the test.
We're
going to have a pop quiz tomorrow.
It's not a
don't
test.
Don't anybody study.
Do
it's a pop quiz.
I just think that there is an element of interest that I could see, that I could picture for a team saying, does this fact, your family life, potentially affect you as a player?
And I think that's a perfectly legitimate question.
And I think in this case.
That way.
I think in this case, there's a logical argument to be made for a team saying, I'm just wondering if it will affect him going forward. And Andy brought up a great scenario. What happens if you know, that life gets his mother in trouble and all of a sudden on a Saturday night, he's sitting in his hotel room waiting to play a game the next day and gets a call?
Right.
Because who does she know who has money that could get her out of trouble quickly?
Sure.
Her son.
Sure.
Whether they're, you know, separated or not, that's somebody she could call and know there's a chance I can get
believe
the
me, this isn't the only
grand.
Guy that has that problem.
Right.
You know,
I'll bet you there.
I also don't think it's the only guy that they asked about your parents or whatever.
His past follows him to the NFL,
right.
And now it's even worse.
How many times do you think that there are thousands upon thousands of similarly distasteful questions being asked every year to these
And
guys?
Why is it okay? Because everybody always talks about you got to leave your entourage, you got to leave your boys. Why is it okay to ask questions in regards to that, but not ask it about somebody who's actually much closer and could have a much greater influence
who
than your entourage?
Who you're not going to leave.
I think it depends on how it was asked.
How many times do you think that question, in whatever various forms that it took, has been asked to other players in other years?
I don't know.
Because, like you said, it's probably not the first time they've had to deal with this kind of issue.
I would imagine that every player who has had a pass like that has had – it has been questioned.
It's interesting, then, that this is the first time that a player has actually come out and said –
Yeah,
as Michael
put up
Silver
any sort of
protest
put it out
about
there
it.
Because he obviously had an agenda because he always does. When
well, when Dez
something.
Bryant too, Dez Bryant said it.
No, I know, but Michael Silver kind of blew it up, right?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
And he always has an agenda in everything he writes because he hangs out at the bar with whoever he's writing about. So
the smoking buddy.
There's always an agenda with Michael Silver.
If you haven't figured it out, PFW down on Michael Silver.
Yeah. Kamani writes in, and it's not about Eric. He says, "Here's the thing about Andy and Paul's argument about Dez Bryant." And this is the underlying question. Would he repeat the same question to a white player? I say no. Not only would he not ask that to a white player, but the whole background of the player would have been told in a totally different light by the media.
I'll give you a perfect example. I'll guarantee you, Jeff Ireland, if this player was a football player, not a baseball player, would have asked the same question to Jabba Chamberlain. That's the kind of background that Jabba Chamberlain has. His mother has been in and out of prison, arrested, and all kinds of stuff. And I'll guarantee you, if he thought that about Dez Bryant, he would have thought that about Chamberlain.
The white player would be portrayed as having overcome many personal obstacles to make it to the NFL, the same way Tim Tebow was shown on the sidelines screaming at his teammates, and all the commentators say he's being a leader. But if a black player does it, he's viewed as brash or mean and arrogant.
That's one of the most utterly ridiculous things. What do you think Magic Johnson did for his career? He's known as the ultimate leader. Isaiah Thomas. Did anybody say they were brash black players?
But I think,
no.
But I think even Dez Bryant.
Left wing conspiracies. I think take him somewhere else.
I think even
Jerry Callahan here on PFW in Progress.
I think even Dez Bryant is looked at as overcoming obstacles.
Yeah.
Isn't that
of course
his story?
He is. Yeah, absolutely.
So,
but the question is, could those obstacles kind of
rear
their ugly
heads? That's
the
concern. But absolutely, I think that's what he's considered right now. A guy, Lawyer Malloy. Who overcame more than Lawyer Malloy when he came to the Patriots?
Not being able to play football. Yeah.
That was well done by him.
Okay, I forgot. Fred, Lawyer Malloy is this guy. He played from 1996 to 2003. He was on New England. In that time, he made four Pro Bowls. You probably don't remember because he hasn't been on the team.
He remembers. I'll have to take this personally.
Hey, Lawyer.
No, but not, in all seriousness. Want
a hug?
Do you remember the stories about Lawyer's upbringing?
Yeah.
You know, who overcame more? How was that story portrayed?
Right.
Was he a brash, loudmouth, you know, or was he considered a guy who overcame a lot to get where he was?
That's very poor.
Nano says, who cares what Mike Ditka says? On ESPN's 30 for 30 that followed the Ricky Williams saga, Ditka said that even knowing what he knows now, he would still trade his whole draft to draft Williams. Really, Mike? You think that's a good idea you want to go on the record with? Reminded me of what Steve Colbert line about a former president. He believes on Wednesday what he believed on Monday, no matter what happened on Tuesday. So...
evidently, Mike Ditka playing the role of Paul Perillo, just going to go down with that ship. Yeah, I'd still do it today. It was a good move.
Yeah.
Come on. If you know what you know today, I'll even take it a step further. Let's call him the greatest running back who ever played. I still wouldn't trade an entire draft for him. Well, I'll go the opposite. Forgetting about he quit in the middle of his career because he wanted to smoke dope and had all kinds of issues off the field with his anxiety disorders and whatnot. You still would trade a whole draft for a running back?
Right.
I don't care who the running back is. Now, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, sure. I'll trade my whole draft if you tell me that's the guy I'm getting beforehand.
Ditka would actually still take Brady 199. Yeah. Knowing what he knows today, I'm still passing the first five rounds.
Yeah, I'll let everybody else bypass him. I'll pick him up for a six-round pick.
That's silliness.
Ditka, he coached, he played on emotion, not on intelligence. You know?
And he's entertaining, but
he's
not an intelligent analyst.
It's all based on knee-jerk emotion, you know, that type
of thing. He makes me laugh.
Hey, speaking of entertaining analysts, did you happen to see this thing about Gruden that they're talking
about?
He
quit on day three.
Yeah.
And then they say he didn't quit.
Well, they don't know why.
Right.
Gruden quit?
Gruden
he was supposed to be all 3 days.
Gruden pulled a Mayock. He didn't do the last day. And he didn't show up in... I guess initially ESPN said that he lost his voice, but a lot of people talked to him late Saturday night and said that's not true. He was talking fine. They don't know why he wasn't there the last day.
No, but the conversation I heard the night before with the ESPN director, this is what they were saying, that he was starting to lose his voice. He says, you know, John, you don't need to do this tomorrow if you don't want to. And Gruden said, no, I'm doing it. I really want to do this. I'm into it. And then he just didn't do it. So I don't know what happened.
Yeah, I don't know what the story is, but it seems like there is one there. And I enjoyed Florio on that. He said he was like basically going to let it drop or whatever, but like the ESPN guys kind of called him out for being irresponsible and reckless and this. So now he's got his pedal to the metal and he's trying to figure it out.
So I think Gruden was pretty good, but the problem with, you know, when he's talking is – Kiper and Mayock, not Mayock, the McShay aren't, you know? Those are the
they should
guys
be the
you
lead
really want
guys,
to hear
right,
from, you know?
I don't know. I didn't really see a lot of.
I think with all of those things, there's too many people involved.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I would say the same thing about NFL Network. I just think they're – I want – you know, like, I don't really love Mayock, but I want to hear Mayock.
Yeah, after the pick,
you know,
I want to hear
McShay and Kiper. Yeah. I don't really care what – you know, Ron Jaworski. I mean, all these guys
I
respect, but I don't really care what they say about draft picks.
But what between picks, what they should be doing, and I think what ESPN could do better than NFL Network, they would go to Mortensen or Schefter and say, you know, the Raiders are thinking about this. That's where I want to go away from the draft experts and go to the league experts. Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to get all of the NFL analysts away from that draft thing and give me the information, guys. Give me Schefter. Give me Mort, You know, give me Luck and Fora on NFL Network.
So-and-so's on the phone with whatever.
Exactly. They can tell me the information that they know about trades, about moves, what teams might be thinking, and then give me the draft experts to talk about the players. Right. I don't need Jaws. I don't need Michael Irvin. I don't need Rod Woodson.
Need the Texas coach.
Yeah, I don't need Mac Brown.
I really don't need Mac Brown.
You know, I don't need all
those. Was he on there because of Gruden not being there?
Well, I think he was on there because of
Was he on NFL Network?
We had both channels on.
Yeah,
we did.
We did. That's why I couldn't remember either.
Yeah, there was a reason why he specifically was there, though. I forget what it was.
Well, he was there to announce Colt McCoy's selection,
and he wanted to, quote, do Shipley and McCoy back-to-back or whatever.
Right.
But, just in case anybody missed it, Andy has to repeat it.
But he did make there was one interesting thing he said, I think it was Friday night, about what he tells NFL coaches when they come in. I thought that was kind of illuminating.
What does he tell? I didn't catch
basically,
that.
You know, look, I'll tell you everything I know, but this is your pick.
Right.
You know, so.
He said he sat him down in a boardroom, right, with the strength coach, the academic. They all sit down, and everything goes a full on the table. Everything. We're telling you everything.
Right. We're telling you everything. But then after that, this is your pick. You know, there's nothing we know that we're holding back. So do with it what you want.
And he also said he basically tells players that so that they know. If it happens, I'm telling them.
Right.
I'm not covering up anything for you. If you're a sophomore and do X, I'm telling the NFL teams a year and a half later,
and if anything,
you did X.
And if anything else comes out after that, it wasn't us.
So he hopes to use that as like a fear factor. If you do it, I'm telling them. You might not, it might hurt your draft. Right, tattletale.
Mick from Ireland.
Mick!
About the
stable diet, baby.
Says,
flapjacket.
There is no real play on words. The bakery was built in the grounds of a 19th century farm, so there's a lot of old farm buildings and
stable.
All around us.
All right,
but
thank you.
But no real play on words, but a lot of people have thought we make food for horses. My dad trains horses, and trust me, you don't want to be near a pissing horse unless you have some wellies on. I guess those
what's a welly?
Sort of
mate?
Like
that's you know, outstanding.
Those tall,
that email was
those,
outstanding.
Those tall boots
those
like
boots,
the waiters.
Yeah. Keep up the great work. I love the Spikes pick. I really hope he smacks someone in the mouth on his first day and gets in their face after it. I want
You'd
someone.
You'd be a good candidate, Indy.
I want the players to be pumped
smack
up on
him in
D.
The face.
I like him.
No, I just want to see him smack you in the face.
I'll have to cover
did
my
eyes.
Did
so you hear Doc today?
No.
Doc was on today with John and Jerry.
Now, how serious is the relationship?
Well,
are we talking marriage?
Jerry starts off the whole thing. Goes, well, Doc, you know, how excited are you that your future son-in-law
broke up?
is coming? And he goes, whoa, let's put the brakes on that. He goes, she's a little too young to be talking about that. And like Dennis was like, I got news for you, Doc. I have two daughters. When she's 40, she's going to be too young for that.
She probably yelled at him.
But he had nothing. Same thing. Nothing,
it is a great story.
Nothing
if it ends
but
up
great
in marriage
things to say. And they were actually. He has two sons
what?
Too.
Wait. Fred needs to say something that's out of bounds.
No, I think it makes a little pressure on it for the Spikes kid.
Oh,
because right. Now he comes in and now it's his
no
girlfriend.
No one knew. First of all,
do I advance this? Do I lay low?
Oh, and talk about the relationship.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah,
I agree.
I'd rather he not be going.
Like,
out
can he
with,
can he break up with her?
Yeah,
like,
right.
Now it's a story.
Right. What happens if she goes and says, oh, he treated me like a jerk last night, and says it to somebody at the track, the inside track?
I agree with you, Fred.
You know?
That does put an element of pressure on it. But it was funny. Doc said, you know, Jerry said something like, you know, so how does it feel like, you know, if you had to step in and, you know, take care of him? You know, this is a big guy. He goes, oh, yeah, that's not happening. He goes, and my two sons have taken a lot of pleasure about that. Usually, you know, when my daughter had boyfriends come over the house, I was pretty comfortable in the fact that I could intimidate him, but from the first time that Brandon stepped into my house, my two sons have been making fun of me ever since, knowing that I couldn't because, you know, obviously.
Is she
and that's why
a
he's
Florida
a
student?
I don't
know. Is that how they know each other?
I don't know.
Yeah, she's a volleyball player at Florida.
Oh. Hmm.
Did I ever tell you what my father used to do?
Volleyball player.
Yeah.
Did I ever tell you what my father used to do when his sister would go out on dates?
Was this at the country club?
No, this is when he was growing up in Brooklyn. They would take all the weights and they'd bring
straight
him,
out of Brooklyn. It.
They'd bring him into the living room.
Weights?
And so when the kid came up to pick up his sister, he and his friends would all be in the the front room lifting weights. So.
Brooklyn.
Putting on a gun show.
Welcome.
1,122.
Is there a major city that you and your family have not inhabited?
On the East Coast, no. Well, that's where he was born. I mean, you know.
Straight out of Brooklyn?
So, you know, he was born in Brooklyn, but He never moved to Romania.
He lifted himself to the stables of the Cape.
Right.
Speaking of
which, where Fred was riding bareback and watching horses piss.
You're a Cape guy. What do you think of the wind turbines and whatnot, whatever they're called?
I laugh at all these people. Oh, don't build it. You know, but they're the first one that says, oh, we need clean energy.
Right.
Not in my backyard, though. Yeah. Screw you.
NIMBY.
We have one off of Block Island that they want to put in Rhode Island.
There's a lot worse things that they could put up, you know. It's fine. Put them up. That's what I say.
I agree. As long as they work.
Yeah, there was some question about that, I guess.
If they don't work.
Like it costs more
they work, but if it's cost efficient.
Well, don't believe everything you hear on WEI morning shows.
Says the
that's the side that I'm agreeing with, that they want them. They think it's a good thing.
They were talking this morning about how it was going to cost more or something.
No. Callers were saying that.
Yes, people were calling in saying that the rate to distribute it. And I don't think that's ridiculous. I'm sure there is some plausibility to that.
Right.
Everything costs more. A Prius costs more. Every hybrid you buy costs more.
Right now.
The more of them you build, though, the cost will go down.
Yeah, but it is right now.
The people on the paper are going to see the distribution rate double somehow.
The part where you can't just blindly accept what John and Jerry say, and you have to kind of do some research, is when they say, yeah, a Prius actually does more damage to the
environment. I'm going to buy a Hummer
because it's a zinc battery, and they have to do this.
And all the parts are flown in from various areas. And I got you.
All right.
This isn't Providence Radio. It's Boston.
All right. Webradio at Patriots.com, 508-543-7482. Francis, the Canadian Pats fan, writes in. After hearing you guys Tuesday talk about Taylor Price draft video on YouTube, I looked it up as well as another video where you see him play against Powerhouse Tennessee. And I have to say, I'm really impressed. He bounced right back up after big hits and plucks the ball well away from his body, even though the throws were less than accurate. The guy seems like he's real genuine, down-to-earth kind of guy you want on your team. I'd bet one of my paychecks that he won't become a douchebag like Chad Jackson. I'm wondering.
Kind of the story I wrote.
If Gerard Mayo will get the green sticker helmet back this year. I know he had the radio helmet at the beginning of the year, last year, even when he came back from the injury. But for some reason, I believe PFW hero James Sanders finished the year with the task of communicating the play in the huddle. If Mayo doesn't get it, who will? And last thing, what are your early captain predictions?
James Sanders. I think Will Fork and Mayo, I would assume, are locks.
Brady.
Yeah, and I think Mayo gets Brady. The helmet
and I
sticker.
Think maybe Falk gets it over Moss this year.
So.
Gronkowski.
Other than that,
Mankin. Oh, no, they won't give it to him. They're running him out of town.
Brady,
Falk, Will Fork, Mayo, and probably Aiken again.
You think Aiken? Yeah, because special teams.
What about Copen?
See, I think there will be a non-Falk offensive player.
I think they might. I think as a sort of welcome back, things are going to be all right, Mankins might.
See, I don't, because they're going to run him out of town.
Well, because they did that with Wolfork last year. You're right. They tried to, you know.
What's the deal with Logan?
I think
any word now?
Maybe he's still out in California, as far as we know.
No developments on that front?
I don't think there are really anything there to develop.
Well, he could have signed by by April 15th, which was the deadline, previous deadline. He didn't do that. So
I don't think there's much there.
There really is.
Except the obvious that he's not all that happy.
No, he could sign a long-term deal still.
Oh, yeah, he could.
Yeah. At any time. Yeah.
But there was that, you know, if he wanted to sign the tender offer.
With somebody else, you mean?
Yeah, with somebody else. Oh, he could have done that. That didn't happen. Now he has until, was it June 1st?
And then they
can actually reduce it to 110%.
They can rescind the tender and give just 110% of last year, which would not be a wise course of action for the team.
Then I'd really avoid him if I were Bill.
Well, June 1st is right around there, right after that, is the mandatory first minicamp.
Well, and that's why they probably scheduled the minicamp after that to make sure he's here.
Right.
Because he's going to have to sign. They think he'll have to sign that. I don't think he will. I don't think he'll sign that until training camp, maybe even into training camp.
James in Maine, going on your discussion about Maroney, also known as Danceroni, I do blame him for the running game. He's not an elite back. He never has been. We should cut him or try and get picks for him. But something at least. Also, why didn't we get some late-round picks for next year or for AD or trade him and get something decent for him at least a good, decent player. Why did we cut him and not try to get something for him? Any ideas?
As we've discussed,
$4.9 million.
Correct. Over and over again. Nobody wants him to pick up that contract.
And he's not signed with anyone yet, right?
Right.
Not yet.
That should tell you something. You know? No, well, I mean, the money is an issue.
As you would say, what?
The money is an issue.
Well, no. You
it's
can sign
not anymore. You can sign
not an
him
issue
for
anymore.
The
not
money.
Sign
no, but
wants.
He's probably – I'm sure teams have talked to him, but he's
I'm
probably
sure.
says, this is what I'm going to need, and they've backed off.
He's not going to get $4.9
million. No, he's getting the veteran minimum. He'll get like $1.2
He'll get
million.
A million. He'll get like a million and change like Torrey Holt and –
He's learning the hard way.
All these other guys that have signed.
I don't
learning
think
what?
That – I don't think that people are beating down his door. I disagree with you. I don't think money's an issue at all. I don't think
you
people
don't think
want him.
Any team has contacted him?
Contacted or offered him a contract?
Well, say, hey, what are you
Well, the Jets reportedly were
– Who's his agent?
Oh, I don't think anybody's offered him a contract. I don't think there's a high demand for his services.
Who's AG's agent?
That's a good question.
Should know that.
I don't know.
I should know that.
Maki in Ireland, you all did a great job over the draft weekend. Andy and Paul have great analysis throughout. And Fred's lack of interest.
That's going to hurt a lot. That one's going to hurt a lot.
Well, he's not done here. And Fred's lack of interest and lack of knowledge was hilarious. Oh, I'm forgetting someone. Doc, your drop-ins were great. Now, on to some part-time contributor. You're bitching about Bill Belichick, head coach of the New England Patriots, being rude to you in response to an apparently stupid question and complaining that he should answer it with respect. How about you heed your own advice, and in your future PFWs, you tone down your unbearable pomposity towards questions you deem idiotic? I'm currently playing the world's smallest violin for you, buddy, you pompous wanker.
Wanker.
And wanker's a bad word in England.
Yes.
I think. Yeah.
Point taken, Maki in Ireland.
Wow.
Wow. That's magnanimous.
First time ever, Eric has been humbled.
We've had a breakthrough.
Wow.
How you doing?
What's this? I'm being handed
breaking news.
From Tacoma. Agent, veteran linebacker Thomas receiving interest from multiple teams.
Okay, I stand correct.
According to Bus Cook. Who's his agent?
Cook has
maybe
cornered the Hattiesburg market.
Maybe I'm not standing corrected yet.
Right.
Give me some more information on that.
Right. Let's see. The Patriots announced they blah, blah, blah. Thomas, agent, Bus Cook, told NFL Network insider Jason Lockenfora on Monday that the 10-year veteran has received inquiries from several teams already.
A lot of teams.
That's good. Yeah. That's good research, Tacoma.
Yeah, Hartford Colonials.
That's a good job,
right?
But, Sacramento Mountain Lions.
Yeah, if that's all it is just the agent is saying I've got
right.
Then
you don't know.
Yeah,
because that's his job is to drum up interest.
Right.
Especially a guy like Bus Cook, who's really not really all that forthright.
I'm telling you, has he cornered though the Hattiesburg market between
Favre and
Thomas? Does he have others? Or does he just literally work out of Hattiesburg and whoever comes through? And those
is that where AD's from? I knew he was from the South.
Oh, boy. You don't remember that from last week?
What,
Tuesday?
This whole thing about the South?
Do just let them drop right out of your memory.
Eric, are you going to Jamie Silva's football camp this weekend?
I didn't know it was this weekend.
I heard a commercial on the radio.
Really?
The 25th through the 27th or something.
Oh, yeah?
Is he still in the Colts?
Oh, wait, was that last weekend? That was last weekend.
So, no,
the
I'm not going.
I heard today.
Today is the 27th.
Today's the 29th.
I think it was last weekend.
And I heard the commercial today?
This morning. Go to jamiesilva.com for more information.
Wow.
Is he still in the Colts?
Yes.
I don't know. It said NFL football player Jamie Silva.
Well, evidently they just run that commercial at all times, so they want to make sure they protect themselves.
It's evergreen.
Yeah, because aren't there restrictions on using NFL team names
sure,
and all that stuff?
Oh, okay.
You know, like how they say... You know, win tickets to the big game when
I also
places
don't
give away
think
Super Bowl
calling
tickets.
Him an NFL football player makes it evergreen. I actually think he's on his last chance as an NFL football player. It's also his first.
Hey.
What's the matter, Fred?
Want to hear a few Bus Cook clients?
Made it this far.
This X Factor.
Yes, who else besides Favre and AD?
We got Jay Cutler, someone who's still listed on his page who is not a client anymore, Steve McNair.
Oh.
Good point.
And the one and only Randy Moss.
Oh.
Well, I didn't know Randy Moss.
I didn't either.
Was Bus Cook.
I also don't think it's right.
No,
I thought it was DiPietro or
DiPietro. You know what?
That's according to Bus Cook's website.
That might be
that's his lawyer?
Yeah, like a firm that does other things for him,
Drake
PR stuff.
A little background on Dez Bryant. I was looking at something today. Did you know he actually went to Oklahoma State because the position coach there was Randy Moss's coach?
Well, that was, a lot of people talked about that. I didn't know
Like, he chose it based on the fact that the guy had coached Randy Moss, and he thought he was Randy Moss, and he wanted to play for him.
And I'll tell you, I did get a chance when I talked, because that's
Randy Moss.
The offensive coordinator for Oklahoma State is a gentleman named Gunter Brewer, and that's the guy I talked to for Zach Robinson. But
Gunter? I don't even know her.
You brought this up, Andy, with Moss, and we talked about Randy a little bit. And basically, his feelings on Randy are exactly the same as ours.
Whose? Gunter?
Brewer's. And he coached the receivers at Marshall back when Randy was in college, and he said, you know, just a terrific young man, but so guarded and won't let you in. He's very distrustful. He went back to the same story that everybody talks about when he
was talking about Randy Moss.
We're talking about Randy Moss.
Thanks for listening.
Oh, my bad. I drifted out of there for a second.
You know, the incident that happened to Moss in high school in West Virginia, you know, the race thing, he had the white girlfriend, and he had all that trouble in high school. And then the Notre Dame and Florida State thing, all of this, he said that was it. He completely shut everybody out. He said, I've seen the other side of Randy Moss. He was absolutely wonderful to my kids at the time. My kids loved him, and he just had an electric personality. He could light up a room when he decided to, you know, to let you see that. And I said, you know, we've seen the exact same thing. You know, he doesn't talk often here, but when he does, you're riveted. You can't take your eyes off the guy. You don't even look down to write what he's saying because you don't want to miss his facial expressions and whatever he's doing. So clearly that is Randy Moss. It's just there's two different guys.
Right.
It's the one that he doesn't let too many people see, and then, you know, the sort of argumentative chip on the shoulder guy that we see more often than not.
508-543-7482 is the phone number, and on it right now is John all the way from Australia. John, how you doing?
Men of PFW, how are you?
Good.
Hey, Mike.
Wow. Are you calling on Skype?
No, I'm not calling from Skype, actually. I've been on hold for about 28 minutes on my mobile. I got international calling.
Wow.
Okay.
Good job. So, you left him on for a half hour?
It's all covered on the international calling, so it's all good.
Oh, great.
Oh, good. All right.
How is everyone?
Tremendous.
Good. What time is it over there?
It's 2:30 in the morning.
Oh, man.
Have you been drinking?
Friday morning.
It's Friday morning, so when Fred says
Friday
it's
morning.
Thursday here at Gillette Stadium, it's not Thursday yet.
That's right.
Yeah, you've been drinking? You having a Foster's?
No, actually, I'm not a big fan of Foster's, to be honest.
Oh, because Andy wanted to ask you if that's Australian for beer. Really?
So what kind of beer do you drink? What's real Australian beer?
VB is probably the real Australian.
VB?
VB?
VB, yeah.
You see any kangaroos lately?
That's as Australian as you can get is VB.
Oh, okay.
All right.
So what do you got today? Is this a David King question?
Long-time listener, long-time emailer. Just first time I thought I'd call in to say hi and everything, but... I haven't listened to the Tuesday podcast yet. I'll listen to it tomorrow. But everyone's been raving about Brandon Spikes.
Yeah.
I have just a one question. What's a productive linebacker in the NFL right now who ran a more like 5+40?
It's a good question. It's a really good question. I don't know the
answer
to it.
There's not many, you know.
Right.
And I'm wondering if he maybe. I mean, he was a good college player. I've seen a few tapes of the Florida games and all that. But in terms of the speed of the NFL, I think he's... I know he's been put next to Mayo, and Mayo's going to be the guy, and he's going to have all the glory, but a five... You know, I don't know if he's going to be a big impact player, if that makes sense.
Well, yeah. I don't think he'll be the guy he was at Florida. He returned interceptions for touchdowns, was more of a playmaker for them, and it's why we've kind of described him as a thumper. A guy to put next to the more athletic Mayo, a guy to take on guards, maybe do a little bit more of the dirty work on the inside that I don't think Gary Guyton was capable of. And I'm not going to say he's Ted Johnson, but more of that style. Physical,
run through blocks, take on guards, tackle to tackle.
If you want him to run outside the tackles, that's where you're going to start to see his production limited, I think. But if you can kind of tailor his role, and obviously in the 3-4, some of the role is taking on guards and playing the run inside, two-gapping, I think he'll be okay, but you're right. He's certainly not the norm. Above 5.40 for a linebacker, not the norm in any defense for any role in any way.
So do you guys think that maybe he's going to be – a lot of people are going to be disappointed because he was a second-round pick, and he's not going to be really a highlight reel? He's not going to be on the highlights and all that? There's going to be a level of disappointment in his first year, and just because of that fact that he won't be making plays, he'll be taking on guards and – you know, all that sort of stuff?
I think it depends on how the total defense performs this year. If the defense shows improvement from last year, I think everybody will be quick to say Spikes was one of the reasons why.
And if by chance Mayo makes more plays, people are going to kind of theorize, oh, maybe he's a little more freed up to run around because Spikes is in there to be the thumper in the middle. So I think Fred's right. It's going to be more of the team defense, Mayo, the whole roles as they kind of
and
come together.
Again, we're projecting here a little early that Spikes is going to be the automatic starter.
Could
next
be McKenzie.
To him. Could be very well be Tyrone McKenzie, who we had very high hopes, the same kind of hopes for last year when he came in here.
Yeah,
and he's much faster.
But, I mean, you know, Bill Belichick invested a second round in this guy. It's not like, you know, he can really...
Well, he invested a second rounder in Ron Brace last year, and Myron Pryor, the sixth rounder, got all the playing time.
Yeah, fair enough.
So, we'll see. It's whoever plays the best. Whoever plays the best gets on the field.
But I think John's point is, if he doesn't play, it'll be a disappointment because he was a second rounder.
Well, sure, just like it was a disappointment
like
that Ron Brace, right.
And I would agree with John, too, in that... You know, there are some – we're all very high on Brandon Spikes, but there are some concerns because there's a lot of guys that are great in college and don't make the jump, and there's a lot of reasons. Well, one very common one is speed. And he might have all the instincts in the world, but just isn't quite fast enough to get there to make plays.
Right.
You know, with the increase – I don't think that's going to happen. I think he's one of those guys that can do it, and I'm hopeful that ends up being the case. But I think John's right. That's a concern.
His instincts could make up for his.
Because, I mean, the guy played in the SEC.
Yeah.
And he was actually a good player in the SEC. Who has the fastest, best athletes in college football?
Freddie Roach.
The SEC.
Right.
No, I know. Yeah, Freddie Roach is an example of a player who was good in the SEC and didn't really work out in the NFL.
And I think that's a legitimate concern for all of us.
I think the one thing that I'm really worried about was also he ran the 5+40 in the pro day and in the combine, but when it came to pro day he didn't try to run the 40. He decided to stick with his numbers.
You mean to try to run a faster time?
Yeah, like I mean, why wouldn't he try to sort? Okay, well maybe he thought I'll run the 5.52 whatever. Why not give it another shot at your combine at your pro day?
I thought he did run the 5.
Maybe show the teams that hey, I do have some speed.
My recollection was that the 40 time was at the pro day,
the
5.06. Is that not right?
I thought it was at the combine. Didn't it run at the combine?
I thought it was the pro day. We'll look into that. Tomash, look into that, the 5.06.40, when it occurred.
I thought
it was in Gainesville during the Tim Tebow hype.
I thought I remembered that too, but even if it wasn't, then maybe, listen, I haven't heard him say, I just ran a bad time or anything like that. So I'm guessing that's about what his time is.
I'll tell you what concerns.
I'm guessing he's a 5.40 guy.
And he figured I can only hurt myself if I run it again.
Exactly.
And run
what happens if I run a 5.16 instead of a 5.06?
What are his shuttle times compared?
I can get you those.
That could be a better indication of his quickness.
But I think the most concerning aspect of it for me, if you want to look at the negative side, is the fact that Bill Belichick came out and said he's the fastest between the tackles at the in the box linebacker we've seen in a few years. To me, a lot of times when he tries to nip something in the bud, it's a legitimate concern. Chad Jackson was great at drawing plays up on the board.
We gave him a play
in the end, right?
We gave him a play when we met him at the combine or something like that, and then when we got back with him at his pro day, and then we got back with him at a private workout. He mapped the whole thing out. And
when Bill is proactive,
2 years later, one of the things that everybody talked about was how his inability to pick up the system.
There's a reason Bill does it sometimes, to try to nip it in the bud and give a guy a cushion.
Spikes' 40 times at his pro day. He did not run at the combine.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, I thought that was the case.
And there was some sentiment that it was a slower track at the pro day, because I believe it was on grass. But still, everybody agreed it was a slow time.
Yeah. And like I said, I haven't heard him come out and really defend himself about it. And you hear a lot of guys say, well, I didn't have my right shoes. Mm-hmm. I didn't have, this. There's always some reason that you run slower than expected. I haven't heard him say anything. He hasn't really backed down from that time.
Which leads you to believe that's what he thinks it is, too.
Right.
All right. Thanks,
all right,
John.
VB.
Thanks, guys.
It's great to get a call from Australia.
Talk to you guys later.
Okay, all right, get some sleep. John. Good night. Go have another VB, which stands for
Victoria Bitter.
Yes.
So I was close.
It's fondly known as a tradition of rewarding hard work and hard play since 1890.
I don't know what kind of accent that is. But
it's kind of like one of your accents. It just comes out of nowhere.
Was the best full-strength beer in 2003 at the Australian Liquor Industry Awards.
There you go. All right. John calling from his mobile.
And on for a half hour waiting.
At 2:30 in the morning.
Only 28 minutes.
And just a
Our
little question.
Our fans are the best.
How come the only time you give out the phone number is the time when people can't call it? You always say 508-543-7482, and joining us on that line right now, they can't call. That line's busy. Shouldn't you why give it after the guy hangs up? So
why do you have to tell everybody there's only one line?
Truth in advertising.
They call, it's busy, they call back.
He hung up. Now say.
Got an open line right
got
now.
Got an open line. 508-543-7482.
Phone lines are wide open.
Toyota, do we have any open lines?
We have one open line right now.
We have one open line, 508-543-7482.
Victoria Bitter.
Better get it before it fills up.
Yep.
Let's see. Alex from Georgia calls in.
Alex.
Or writes in. He says, I just listened to the interview with Jonathan Kraft, and I thought he made some interesting points. Jonathan Kraft was on the EI, I guess.
Oh.
You guess?
First was when he was talking about McCurdy. He said that he was very
physical.
He
did it again.
He was a very physical corner and wasn't afraid to tackle, unlike someone else who used to play here. Was that a shot at Asante? Anyways, he provided great insight on how the Patriots plan out their draft, what they look for, and what Bill does in evaluating the draft. I thought it was very informative, but I got to say that the Big Show people are morons, just with some of the questioned comments they were making, especially Steve. The more I read up or heard about McCourty, the more I liked that pick. It's not that sexy pick we all wanted, but I think this guy's going to be a star. Out of the picks that we got, who do you see as possible starters for this upcoming season? I think Gronk and Spikes, maybe not right away, will start. The season can't get here soon enough.
I agree with those two.
Yeah, I think we said that the last show,
too. I think Gronk starts from day one.
Yeah,
me too.
I mean, one of those tight ends have to,
Yeah. Well, not necessarily. I mean, Crumpler.
They do have LG Crumpler on the roster.
A veteran presence.
Yeah, that's true.
If he gets out of fat camp in time.
I wonder if he'll be at rookie minicamp this week.
Even the latest highlights of him, he's so heavy.
Who?
Crumpler.
But he always was. It's you can't fixate on that.
It's a good thing that we drafted a couple of tight ends. Now Fred can say, do you see how fat he was?
He was fat when he was good. When he was catching 65 balls.
So when he gets cut in training camp, he wasn't like this.
Andy and I were talking.
He wasn't 275 when he was catching 50 balls.
He weighed 268 as a rookie or whatever. I mean, he was fat.
So not 275.
Andy and I were talking before the show about, remember last year Fred Taylor showed up for rookie minicamp because it was new system and all that? Yeah. We're wondering whether Gerard Warren, Damian Lewis, Algie Crumpler, guys like that, Torrey Holt even,
et al.,
the veterans.
Yeah, will they be here?
Will they be here this weekend?
Yeah, that'll be
so it'll be kind of interesting to see if they're
if
here.
If I were Warren, I'd be here. Because to me, he's the poster child of disappointment. Maybe this is your last hurrah, and you have a chance as a role you could win.
Right.
I would want every opportunity
this,
I could.
This weekend, I don't think they'll be here.
I would.
It'll be the OTA, that's just for rookies. That
I'd be
they
sucking
might
up
be
like
here.
A mofo.
Do you know what I'm saying?
I'd be waiting outside when Bill got here with a coffee.
Camp, right?
They had last year, I think they had four different days that we could watch OTAs. The first one was just for rookies that we saw Fred Taylor and all of those guys. At rookie minicamp, I think, will just be rookies.
I'd be waiting out there.
And the draft picks and undrafted free agents.
What do we call them?
On ESPN, they're showing like old interviews, from like the set. Paul's in that mix. I saw him.
Yeah, well, I was right next to that Ray Dittinger guy. I don't know how to pronounce that name, but did you see that? They showed him. He's one of those Hall of Fame guys.
Balladers.
He's excellent on all the analysis things that they show. The historical top tens and stuff. He always has really insightful things. But they showed him like back in the mid 70s. He's like this young guy, looks totally different.
Wow.
Remember when you used to be on those?
Yeah.
Let's see.
He hangs his head. Yeah.
Paul's, and he told me this.
My career's over, Fred.
No, but his.
Oh.
I ruptured my Achilles and I lost it.
His dream is to be in one of those NFL films, interviews, documentaries where he's being interviewed with the books in the background and he's talking about Drew Bledsoe.
But they're not really books. Bledsoe's it's just a poster he put up for.
It doesn't necessarily have to be about books. Bledsoe, but you're right. Everything else you said is 1,000% right.
Like those beer posters you had in college with a shelf of all the different brews.
Well, they had me on it once, and then I ended up on the cutting room floor, so evidently I didn't cut much.
They said, we're looking for quick hitters, and Paul went, uh-oh.
Robin, speaking of hitting.
I'm more cut off for radio.
We have another
long form.
We have another. Andy's challenged me to another sport. He wants to try to redeem himself. So as soon as Paul gets out of the
two more sports, I thought.
As soon as Paul gets out of his boot, he's going
to
pitch to us.
He wants
to
wrestle.
We're going to see who can hit him better.
And
we're both going to pepper him.
Fred.
But we want to see who can do it better.
Fred, I told Andy the same thing I told you. I made the same offer. I can be bought. So if you want fastballs right down the middle, just let me know. I can be bought.
I've even said I will bat righty just to, so he's both he's pitching both to a righty.
It's generous of you.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, you'd have to bat righty because you'd stand absolutely no chance of hitting me if you batted lefty.
I might
have very little chance of making good contact righty.
I might just have to step over now.
But there's no chance of you making good contact lefty.
Oh, boy. Oh, why? Because your curveballs, just sweeping curveballs.
This reeks of predicting 35-yard field goals.
Oh, I wonder if we were going to be in that. They were just showing the snow game from the press box.
Oh, wow. Wow. Robin.
No chance, by the way. You? No chance.
Andy, see the look Fred's giving him right now.
Andy considers if he pops one up like really high, that's good contact.
Well, yeah.
Just missed it.
I go to the Jose Canseco school of hitting. No, if you hit it hard, no matter where it goes, it's a good piece.
Paul, when's the last time you pitched in anger?
10 years.
In anger?
In anger.
Well, you know, to strike someone out.
10 years.
10 years ago?
Probably 12.
Yeah. You're not what you think you are.
Was that the last time you swung the bat to make contact in anger?
What?
What?
goes,
you never were what you think you are.
When was
at
the
least
last
Paul
time,
may have been at one time.
When was the last time
is?
Either one of you swung the bat in anger?
I broke a coffee table the other day.
I thought it was a bathroom door.
That was with my hand.
And, you know, hitting off your little neighbor doesn't count.
I've never swung in anger.
No, I'm saying,
you know what I mean.
Competitively
idiot.
Had a bat in your hand trying to hit a ball hard somewhere.
Right.
And caring about whether or not you
right.
did it.
There'll be a lot of anger.
It's been more than 10 years.
The pitcher will be angry. The batter will be angry.
14 years.
The pitcher will be angry. The pitcher's always angry.
That's true.
All right. Robin Marlboro says, hi, guys.
No
and Eric Serapis.
I don't know when he flexes
I don't
tricep.
I don't think Andy has a chance. Andy's 20 years younger than Fred and in shape. There's no chance Fred has of making solid contact.
He also wanted me to wrestle him, but it was disappointing.
Yeah, I'm not wrestling. I'm not getting on.
Said I'm not getting down and letting him mount
you're
me.
You're not mounting me with a singlet on.
I'll take it off.
Welcome back to the post-draft wrap.
Have you seen those Reebok commercials where they have people working out in the nude?
What?
They've got Chad Ochocinco buck naked running through the woods, and it's like a camera.
Naked.
It's like a camera in the trees, like, you know, filming him, and he's just
I don't know
running.
What kind of commercials you're watching,
and then
Fred.
They got like they got an MMA guy and an MMA girl, like, just working out in the gym, and they're completely naked. And, like, they blur out the naughty bits, but...
Not even naughty bits.
But it's like this viral thing that's going on the web. So if you Google...
That's our boy from the Jets, isn't it?
Yeah, Dan Leberfeld.
Yeah.
If you Google Reebok nude commercials, you'll see what I'm talking about.
Huh.
Actually, Tacoma's he's watching it right now.
Yeah, no thanks. I'm really interested in seeing Chad NFL players naked. Unfortunately, that's part of our
tripod.
Job. I see more of that than I would really care for.
Is the MMA girl decent?
Yes.
Thing? Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, easy.
Yeah. It's a 12-year-old boy.
He always takes it right to the bathroom. Oh, yeah.
Robin Marlboro, hey, guys, and Eric's therapist. The harassment of Eric over the Christmas presents was great. We'll make a good politician at debate saying, you make the stuff up. You can't get this kind of fun on ESPN ever. Of the running backs, I'd like to see Kevin Faulk stay because he reminds me of a Troy Brown, anything for the team guy. Maroney can hit the road.
What about the other two?
I think whatever you get out of them, you're happy. I mean, they just can't stay on the field.
See, I think the problem is... There's no, like, they're not slotted. It's not like you have the one veteran who you got to keep because he's the solid guy, or the one guy who's the young up-and-comer. They don't have a young up-and-comer. They don't have the can't-be-without veteran. They're all the same. They're all interchangeable. I mean, I think Kevin Faulk is somewhat separate, but they're all kind of interchangeable. Sure, I'd feel maybe okay if they were on the field. I'm not going to feel great with any of them on the field. None is any great loss if they can't get on the field. They're all the same.
I agree. Doesn't bother me.
That's why we should have drafted somebody.
I don't like
James
running backs.
Starks.
I've become very anti-running back like the last 2 years.
That's because.
Which is why you hate that Bills telling
you
want to
throw
the
ball
league
all the
where it's all power football, baby.
We forget what
that's
it's
just
like
nonsense.
To have a guy.
I don't
that,
know. If,
you,
I,
know.
You know, I think that if he was flashing back to like the mid '90s or something, I don't. It's like Steve Diassi said when Bill was done with that. By the way, Eric, your bitch slapping was second only to the one he gave Diassi. On Monday.
Really?
Oh,
what did he ask him?
All teams,
they
two receiver teams.
They asked him the same
teams
thing about these, you know, was the drafting McCourty, you know, the same thing that we asked him in the press conference.
Right.
You know, an indication of where the league is going with the multiple receiver sets and the spread offense, blah, blah, blah. And he went up one side and down the other. And Andy was saying when the whole thing was over, Giassi was like, wow, I just got killed by Belichick. He just beat the crap out of me.
It was a passing league.
I thought
apparently
it was a passing
league. That was 5 years ago or something.
Yeah. I don't know where Bill was talking about.
The only caveat that Bill says every time he says that, at least with the teams that we have been playing.
Yeah, but Baltimore is the only one of those teams.
No, he said the Jets have been doing it a little bit.
There are running teams. I mean, Cincinnati's a running team. Jets are a running team. But there are very few two tight end, two back, smash you in the face teams.
I know, but
Baltimore
is
one of them.
At least the teams that we play, do they? And he does that because, you know, there are teams that are still spread it out and, you know, pass first, but, you know, we'll see.
I think the majority of teams are spread it out pass first.
That the Patriots play?
Yes.
All right, you know, maybe.
I think Baltimore is the lone exception. And the Jets last year. But the Jets will get back.
The Jets certainly
were a spread it out team 2 years ago.
Yeah.
When Brett Favre, you know, spread the ball around in that Thursday night game. And I think they will be a little bit more of that this year now that they have another year under the belt for Sanchez and another receiver to the stable.
I just wish we got Gerhardt.
Stable diets.
Why?
That's
right. If you're going to be a two-back team, you need the second back. He's a fullback. That'd be fine. Line
Gerhardt
him up in front.
It'd be interesting to see, though, Gerhardt. What I'm really kind of curious about with Bill, though, is he sort of foreshadowing what's going to happen? Do you think teams are going to start to get away from spreading it out?
To the John Hanna?
And then doing
sooner or later, the best way to...
Yep. John Hanna would be so excited. But, you know, that's what a lot of people think is... If you're going to flood the field with extra defensive backs and lighter linebackers that can run, power it up and smash it down their throat. Maybe Bill is sort of foreshadowing what's going to happen.
Right.
So this defense has been ill-prepared for the last 5 years, but pretty soon these big bodies are going to come in useful again.
You know, like, for example...
Well, you know, maybe, you know, believe it or not, maybe he knows all the steroid uses on the downplay, guys are going to get smaller. I don't know.
So why would you want to power up if that's going to happen?
Now you can power them. There's not enough guys to go around, you know, to stop the run.
And what's changed with steroids?
Because they're getting tougher on them. I mean, don't you think it's a matter of time before they start testing for HGH?
I guess.
You know?
Yeah, I do think that that will happen eventually, but
I think
I don't see where that...
They're still playing catch-up.
If you're getting smaller, why would that lead you to want to power up and play with multiple backs?
Well, because you can still find the big offensive linemen who can't run and, you know, the tight ends who can block... But it'll be harder to find, you know, big cornerbacks or safeties that can stop the run.
Okay.
Anyway.
I don't understand.
Anyway.
If everybody's going to be getting smaller, why will it be harder to find small guys?
It won't be. You'll be able to find small guys, but they're not
so why
good
wouldn't
against
you
the run.
So who are the big
who's
people gonna that
be
are going to run against
gonna
them?
Who's going to be running it?
Still, the offensive lineman is still always going to be bigger than
so
defensive
why won't,
backs.
So why won't defensive linemen be bigger?
There might be, but I'm just saying that right now you can have 10 guys who can play the run. You know, but you know if guys
See,
get
I think
smaller,
it's the opposite. I think everybody's getting smaller, and they're having a lot of defensive backs on the field and a lot of linebackers that are a little bit smaller and quicker.
Won't everybody be growing or decreasing proportionately
right,
the same?
But guys that are in the old NFL.
Hey, Danny Ventura.
When the NFL was a running league, you know, the big guys really couldn't run. They were blockers.
Is that Fred?
No, and a good running team had really big guys up front who weren't athletic.
Does
but, kinda
look like
but
Fred.
It looks just like Fred, only minus 100 pounds.
This is our press conference. This is our media day. Which Super Bowl is this, though?
36.
Yeah, 36. Yeah.
But
Brian Cox.
But those big guys could clear
the
way. And you know, and they'd run over the small cornerbacks. You know, cornerbacks didn't tackle back then.
Me? Where am I?
You know?
Find me.
Back when?
You know, back in the day.
Okay.
When
I'm
was
not,
the day?
I'm not going to argue with that, but Ty Law was one of the best run support cornerbacks that we've had in the last 10
I'm talking
years.
About when the NFL was a running league. You know,
okay. 70s, 80s,
right. Larry Zonka, right. John Riggins.
All right, then I'll transfer
well,
to Mel Blount was one of the best run cornerbacks I've ever seen.
Oh, so you're gonna pick one out?
I don't
out
think
of the
that you're
league.
Right. I think that generally there's been less and less physicality with the defensive backs. Back in the day, there was more physicality. When you used to be able to beat the crap out of receivers
and
stuff.
Yeah, it's different in coverage. I think nowadays it's more important to be able to find. You know, defensive backs who can tackle, who can play the run, you know, who can help out and run support.
I think it's more important to find defensive backs that can cover the receivers that are on the field with them.
We can move on because I just figured out what this is all about. So,
can you translate for me?
The first round pick.
Has nothing to do with it. That's just Paul's conspiracy theory.
McCurdy.
And by the way, I am wholeheartedly in support of Devin McCourty. I think he's a good player. I said that when we drafted him Friday.
It has nothing to
Thursday
do,
night.
Nothing to do with him. He just happens to be one. Preston Jackson says
I don't know where this run on guys that can't tackle has ever come from. I don't really understand that.
Preston Jackson says, do you think receiver from Central Michigan, Brian Anderson, will make the team? I mean, come on now, Bill. I don't care if the guy can't catch. He's 6'5". That has to be enough to at least get him a roster spot. He has to be better than Isaiah Standback or whatever his name is. I would just line him and tell him to go run routes every down. And the Pat Pascal dude has to be better than Phony Maroney any day. What are your thoughts?
Well, we haven't seen any of them yet, but wasn't Doug Gabriel pretty tall?
Isn't Isaiah Standback pretty tall?
Isn't he pretty tall?
Sure,
wasn't
at least 6'4".
Who was the guy we got from Carolina back in the day that was
Donald Hayes?
Wasn't he tall?
Andy will tell you about him.
Well, he could make the team because Patriots have had good success with MAC receivers, Randy Moss and Troy Brown.
Okay.
I'll leave out any others in between who may have sucked.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, give us a chance to at least see these guys on the field.
Paul's left.
But Eric does love Pat.
Pascal?
Pascal. Is that how you say
like
it?
This,
are we sure that's Pascal? Isn't there an SCH?
Yeah.
Couldn't it be Paschal?
I suppose it could. We'll find out this weekend.
You'll let him know how to pronounce
his name. Pat, I just wanted to let you know.
Paul
like
says.
Like I did with Greg Schiano.
Paul writes in and he
no,
says, between McKenzie, Mayo, and Spikes, who do you think will work best paired together?
Oh, we, I mean,
no
come
idea.
On. We haven't seen
no
them.
Idea.
I mean,
give us
a chance. I like the theory of Spikes and Mayo. The difference is, because I think Spikes is a little bit more of a thumper than McKenzie is. I think McKenzie has a little more versatility. But who knows? We've never seen two of them in a Patriots uniform.
McKenzie, all we know is, you know, verbal reputation and that he works really hard and has overcome a bunch of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Right. And he was nice to us when he was on our show.
Right.
Right.
We know that he's quicker
than
Spikes.
Minutes later, he blew out his
A little bit smaller, probably.
We knew he was quicker than Spikes.
Yes.
Since then, he's had a major knee injury.
Well, okay.
He may not be quicker.
That's true.
Kevin from North Carolina, wind farms, horse piss, prostitutes, huh? Phenomenal. I can always count on the four of you to give me a daily entertainment. Will you be blogging from minicamp this weekend? Keep up the great work.
In some form or fashion, depending on the rules
either
put in place
before or
by
after.
Big Brother. So, I don't believe we've gotten that email that outlines the exact rules
there
yet.
There will be blogging done about Rookie minicamp.
Indeed.
Right.
Yes.
At some point.
Yeah.
Either from the field or after the field or whatever. We'll have immediate reactions from Andy Hutt and Eric Scalavino.
As immediate as possible.
Paul will skip rookie minicamp.
So.
But he's back in the studio.
Paul's back.
Back in the saddle again. Get it? Horses.
Saddle.
Stables.
Stable dial.
Yeah.
Mark writes
Pissing
in.
Pissing horses. Horses that piss. Bareback. Oh, we don't have a saddle, though.
Mark writes in, he's from Nova Scotia, just wondering what you guys think on the Aaron Hernandez story that the Globe's Albert Breer continues to pursue. I know that you guys touched on it during the last podcast. However, since then, Breer has come out with an update stating that sources from the five NFL teams have told the Globe that Hernandez failed multiple drug tests at Florida for marijuana. Being from Canada, I could care less about the marijuana issue. But I find it interesting that Breer and the Globe have been beating this story like a dead horse, especially considering Mass is a pretty liberal state. I would say that most Pats fans would agree with me, as I've noticed that 90% of the user comments on the Globe's webpage have been very negative towards Breer for pushing this story. Some have gone as far as to liken Breer to Tomasi, in that if he keeps on slinging mud at Hernandez, he's going to get run out of town just like Tomasi did. It seems like Patriots Nation is not happy with Breer. Tomasi didn't get run out of town. He's actually...
He got promoted.
He got the job he wanted.
He's actually a columnist now with the Herald. So
He got promoted. Yeah. He's on the Red Sox beat, which is what he wanted. So he got a better beat and for him. That certainly wouldn't be one for me.
Oh,
covering 162
Seriously.
Games a year.
He can barely do 20.
I can barely make 16.
I think our problem wasn't the story. I think he should and has every right to write that story and pursue it. Andy's problem initially, and I agree, was how they
and that's not with him.
How they positioned it in the Globe
with
the blaring headline above the fold, drug problem.
Well, I have the same. I don't really
history of drug use.
Right. To me, it was the placement of the story above all else. But I also think the drug use was a little bit overblown. The Bruins won a series that day. They advanced in a series that not a lot of people, by the way, thought they were going to win. That was kind of pushing
hell.
That was
Snowball
pushed down.
One hell, nothing.
Utter embarrassment. That was pushed down so that drug story could be at the top above the fold in the Globe. Ridiculous. And I thought that part of it was okay, unbelievably bad. I agree with the emails at Mark.
Yeah,
marijuana doesn't mean a thing to me in terms of the players. I know a lot of players smoke. A lot of players use it.
Dabble.
It's just not that big a deal to me. I mean, if it were cocaine or some sort of performance enhancer or something, maybe I would step back and think twice about it. I think it's pretty clear, by the way, that there were multiple offenses, and his statement is not accurate because everybody is coming. Even the Herald, who would have every reason to refute the Globe story, backed up the Globe story.
Well, and we talked about this yesterday. Again, you get into semantics. Multiple failed drug tests. You know, and Hernandez has said, no, I only failed one drug test.
And Breer
explained.
That doesn't
mean he wasn't caught with marijuana multiple
times.
And
Breer sort of explained how you could get sort of some ambiguity with that.
Yeah.
Because Florida evidently is pretty lenient with their drug offenses. Which, by the way, how about the fact that you have to fail six drug tests before you really get in trouble? I mean, it's like
the NBA.
It's like the first one is a warning. The second one is a one-game suspension. The third one's like a two-game suspension. You have to get down to like the sixth one before you lose a season. I mean, the NFL, you'd be gone after the second one.
Right. You're in the program.
Which was kind of funny. I think it was a lot more strict for us at BU when we used to get drug tested.
Well, I can see why.
But does that make any sense to you?
What does that mean? I don't know what that means.
I think he's being sarcastic.
The den of iniquity, that BU on comment.
That's the second show. Isn't that the second? No, we had one of those over the weekend when I brought up when Goodell comes out of the den of iniquity. When he comes out of the green room.
Is that Tebow's party?
Easy.
Easy.
No, wouldn't you think at the higher level it should be more serious?
Sure.
Drug crackdowns? And yeah. BU?
Right.
Really?
Right.
I don't know. I just think it's strange. Marijuana doesn't mean a big deal to me. But that doesn't mean it's not a big story. And Breer's right to be chasing the story.
Sure.
He wrote a story. The player came out and refuted it, and he's trying to back it up.
Right.
I don't think that's getting, obviously 90% of Patriots fans are upset about it because it's talking bad about a Patriot.
And I actually agree with the guy saying.
I'd be upset about it.
As long as he doesn't get caught from this point on, I'm fine.
Massachusetts is a liberal state, to me, plays into it on some level because in the old days you'd say, but it's illegal. And then someone say, well, so speeding. Well, yeah, but they were different. One, they're not really that different anymore. It's not a criminal offense. It's a $100 fine now. So
depending
they've
on how
made
much you have.
Speeding. Yeah, well, unless you're a dealer.
But that's why it's depending
if
on
he
how
just
much
has his little stash
it's a very, very
to get
small
high.
Amount, by the way, that
yeah.
you can get in trouble
the
for.
Amount he's going to smoke. But that to me, that plays into it here. This state is clearly going in the direction of it's less and less a big deal all the yeah. time.
Yeah, well, it's not a big deal to me, even though I've never taken part. It's just not a big deal to me. Like Warren Sapp got in a lot of trouble that year, slid down to like 14 or 12 or whatever. He's supposed to be a top three pick. Stupid.
Well, even conservatives these days are saying maybe we should legalize marijuana because some of the commerce that's coming in over the border from Mexico is marijuana. At least that would dry that line of business up for,
they
the
just
cartel.
Want to tax it. They just want to make
money. But actually,
money
the best
it.
Marijuana is grown right in the United States these days.
Is that right?
In Fred's backyard.
What?
Is that right, Fred?
That's why he's cutting those trees down.
That's what I hear.
Open up some growing space.
What do you do at 420?
420? What's that?
Oh, boy.
Do you wake and bake?
April 20th?
Then that's when they smoke it.
No, 420. 420. In the afternoon. Evidently, again, I'm not. Not really in that world, but evidently that's
A code word,
really?
That's the time everybody sparks up
is
a doobie.
Is that because April 20th is that marijuana day?
No, so I think 420? April 20th is marijuana day because of this 420
oh, really?
In the afternoon thing.
Okay.
I didn't.
Let's go smoke that joint.
I don't smoke marijuana. I couldn't do
Victor
that.
Victor Kiam, I never called Lisa Olson a bitch. Yeah. Great headline.
Let's see. Josh in Jacksonville. Now that the draft is over and by the sound of the show, we are in our slow period.
well played.
We'll have a whole new group of reactions next week coming. Well, Eric and I will have a whole new slew of reactions
hey,
to the rookies.
I might make the afternoon practice on Friday.
Might. Willie McGinnis to
Dean
Pease.
Depends on how much writing I have.
Tell Dean I'll try to make it to that meeting.
Right.
That's Paul Perillo.
I'm going to miss the morning. I have a refi to do. And then Eric is coming up big on Saturday.
I have a very important question.
I just said I have a refi to do.
He doesn't listen.
Do you know if Steven
Dip left and we're left with
uh-oh.
Rhymes with it.
Oh, boy. Do you know if Steven Gostkowski is currently under contract
yes.
with us? If he is not, do you think the Patriots will sign him to a long-term deal?
He signed his tender.
No, he did sign his tender.
Why is your mic off?
Yeah.
Oh, Tomash. Oh.
Yes, he and
yes,
Woods
he signed the
signed.
Tender.
And Woods, I guess, wasn't the tender. It was
no,
a different
offer.
Contract.
Yeah, right.
Who cares?
But
smaller, I think.
Smaller
probably a little bit.
The reason I'm asking, says Josh, is because my wife wants a Gostkowski jersey, and I want to make sure I'll get value out of spending the money for the jersey. It
you
has
won't.
To last well, at least 3 to 4 years without right. being outdated.
Well, if you're asking me my guess, I would say you'd be safe, but I wouldn't do it because there's no guarantees.
Plus, he's a kicker.
Plus, do you really want your wife walking around with a jersey with another man's name on it?
Well, that's what the women do. They go after
he's a kicker,
the kicker's
and he's
shirts.
Not even the best kicker in franchise history.
That's true.
So we're now going to wear the second-best kicker
Fred,
in franchise history?
Fred would certainly dispute that.
You know, we had one who won Super Bowls. The other were afraid to let him kick in Super Bowls.
That's sort of accurate.
Sort of? I'm pretty sure they're the facts.
That's just floating out there right there. Facts, not opinion.
Webradio at patriots.com, 508-543-7482.
And on that line right now, so don't call it. You can't.
He was on the line for a while.
We missed Michael from Puerto Rico.
Give the number out after you hang up on the person.
The lines are open now.
We have one line open at 508-543-7482. Webradio.
I don't know if you caught it yesterday at the end of Felger and Maz
yeah.
on 98.5.
Yeah.
They were previewing Maz's baseball reporter show with Dan Shaughnessy.
Was it the baseball reporter review?
Felger did a Shaughnessy impersonation.
Did he really?
It was very similar to
was
yours. Yours was better. Yeah. Yours was better, but it was good.
I think I've done it in front of Felger,
yeah.
so he probably got it from me.
He was, yeah, you know, Ortiz, all the way up to the plate. They pulled him back. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know how that went over. Yeah, Tito. People pulled him back.
Red Sox have won, like, a few games lately.
Yeah, they're 11-11.
People are acting like, you know, they're on the skid.
It's a bad club right now. I mean, there's a long way to go. They only played 22 games. But
yeah. Screw the Sox. Let's talk some football.
They've barely beaten bad teams, and they've gotten embarrassed by good ones.
Okay.
That's basically what you've had. They're 2-8 against teams with winning records.
Kind of reminds us.
9-3 against teams with losing records.
Well said.
You know, I was wondering why Belo's show didn't get that many emailers yesterday.
Belo was on it.
Larry writes and he says, I didn't write to the show. I did not think he'd stop telling me what he thinks long enough to read my email.
Forward that to Brian.
You know what?
No,
I appreciate
don't.
That.
He's like you. He's sensitive. Brian Lowe, you, and Tomash are the three most sensitive people on the planet.
So maybe we should change the marketing
order.
Of his show and change it from a talk show to a listen show. Just listen.
I didn't realize Belo had that sensitive
he's
thing
sensitive,
going.
Yeah. Okay. He tries to laugh it off, but he doesn't. It cuts him deep.
Inside where it counts, the aorta?
Yep.
Let's see. Harry from Maryland writes in, I think this is from Tuesday, commenting on what we were talking about. I believe you misunderstood Bill in his EEI interview the other day. Bill gave us a rare glimpse of how he actually does business. We have been annoyed at his trading down, thinking he was risking top talent to acquire more late picks. This is not the case. Bill got the late picks for free. If I see three players whose impact on my team I value equally, I can trade down two spots with zero risk. One of them will still be there. You still get one of your targets and pick up the late pick for free. Of course, that's how it works.
I don't think we had any problems understanding the concept.
I mean, Paul, you were talking yesterday about how, you know, they ended up with more picks than, you know.
Well, they did. And, I mean, the analysis of this draft, ultimately, I think the biggest thing for the Patriots is they ended up starting with a first and 3 seconds, and they finished with a first and 3 seconds and added a third, a fifth, and a second rounder next year along the way.
Right.
The argument to be made on that is the concept is, I mean, it's indisputable. Obviously, if you have guys that you value equally, my question is, and I'm not privy to what their value is and what their who the guys are, but is Devin McCourty really equal to Dan Williams? Or do you think he's better? Or Jared Audrick or Jerry Hughes or whoever else you want to put in there? That's the question.
Right.
So it's not about we don't understand what Bill's doing. We do. But is he right? That we don't know.
In the value, everybody fixates on whatever the 7.92 they give the guys a grade. as Bill talked about in the pre-draft press conference, that's not the only factor. You have to factor in what you have at the position,
yes,
what you'll have at the future of the position, how valuable the position could be on your defense, your offense, your special teams, whatever. So, as he has said so many times, all things are never equal.
Right. And just, but to just blindly say Bill rates these players the same, and let's just call them McCourty, Williams, Audric in this case, okay, I understand he rated them all the same, and he took McCourty. I would say, should he have had them all the same, or is one of those guys markedly better than others? In this case, he probably had McCourty rated higher than those guys, because I would say, Andy's point, Williams and Audric represented a larger need than McCourty, so he probably had McCourty ranked higher than those guys. 5 years from now, if Dan Williams is a four-time Pro Bowler and McCourty is out of the league, are people going to say, Bill did the right thing? He had them all rated around the same, and he took the guy? No. Ultimately, it's going to be decided by which guys are better, and we don't know that now.
But you don't know that.
We don't.
So you can only go with what you're valuing
but I don't think anybody didn't understand what Bill said on EEI. Right. I think that's kind of logic.
Derek is from Savannah, and he writes in, living in Savannah, Georgia, where SEC particularly Georgia football rules? Oh, Georgia, I get it. J-A-W-J-A-H, Georgia. I have seen Spikes play a lot. As to the question, when was the last time you saw a linebacker run a 5-plus 40, I would like to ask, when was the last time we saw a Pats linebacker destroy a back in the backfield? Our defensive linemen, yes, but not the tight ends. I mean, not the TEDs. What is that? The Teds? I guess even, I don't know. Anyway, Spikes, is
Ted
that
Johnson?
Maybe that's what he's talking about. I don't know.
That's the last time I remember a
Ted and Teddy.
Oh, not since the Teds. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Not since the Teds.
Yeah. Spikes is that
by
kind
the way,
of backer.
A five-flat linebacker. My guess is Teddy Bruschi at the end was a above five-flat linebacker.
At the end, no question. But Ted Johnson, I think, coming out of – I've heard a lot of people say, what did Ted Johnson run? Coming out of Colorado, I'll guarantee you he ran a better than 5.0-40.
Well, he wasn't known for his coverage. I know that.
No, no. Yeah. Well, neither
but
was this guy.
But
no.
There's a huge difference between – I mean, he could be a 4.89, and it's well below a 5.40.
Spikes is that kind of backer. He either reads and dissects a play very quickly or does tons of film work because he always is getting up from the bottom of a pile between the tackles. Additionally, this kid has a great instinct in the short passing game. He is always between the receiver and the quarterback. The Pats were gouged badly between the tackles last year. How about the Ravens' first play from scrimmage in the playoff game? Spikes eats things up between the tackles. He is a wrecking ball hitter. He is not a breakdown and weight backer. He is a guided missile that blows things up on impact. Think Nelly. Having seen him play a few games, I am jumping up and down, but I am not disappointed about Spikes being a Patriot.
Nor are we. We all love him.
Yep.
I will caution, and Andy will be able to speak to this, I think, better than I will.
Probably.
The last thing he said there about he's not a wait and see linebacker, he's a missile. I don't know if that necessarily plays to your strength in this defense.
Well, I think the idea is he's a missile who diagnoses things so fast he can be a missile.
Okay.
You know what I mean? He's still reading and reacting, but it's taking place in 1/1000ths of a second or whatever.
All right.
I think is kind of the idea.
Good enough for me.
Whereas Freddie Roach,
I like this guy.
2.5 seconds before he read, and then he was slow once he started moving, so it was all blown up and
I'm excited about what he did in college, seeing if it can translate to the pros. That style of play.
Well, I like it a lot for exactly that reason, Freddie, because when I watched this guy play, I thought he was a really good player. And then all of a sudden, something happened between January and April where he couldn't play.
Right.
And I don't like that. I always hate that part of the pre-draft process.
All-American?
I don't know. I don't know his accolades. But
he is literally the Tebow of the defense, was from almost day one acknowledged as a great player.
I agree with our emailer from Georgia. When you watch
That's
this guy play.
I tell you about it all the time.
When I watched this guy play, I thought he was a great player.
Yeah.
And then something happened where, you know, his measurables weren't up to snuff and he can't play anymore. But I usually like those guys.
But it doesn't always work. A lot of those guys can't play in the NFL.
It doesn't always work.
I mean, Eric Norwood, nobody was a better college player than Eric Norwood. Is he going to be a good pro player? Who knows?
I think there are usually...
Teddy Bruschi was a great college player who there were some doubts about his pro potential, ended up being a very good NFL
player.
But
usually in those cases, in the ones, both of the ones you mentioned, but especially Bruschi, the reason that you don't know if it translates is size. He's not going to be able to do what he did in college at the pro level because he's either not big enough or doesn't fit the right thing. Brandon Spikes should be able to play exactly the same way he played at Florida. If the question will be, is he fast enough to do it? Because he has the size and strength to play inside at the NFL level.
See, I have the concern that a lot of times those guys who are really good at something in college and they project as a question mark in the NFL, a lot of times when they're good, it's in some sort of movement. Like Heath Evans was a good running back. Now he's a pass-catching, full-back, versatile player. Teddy Bruschi goes from defense, changes positions, better suited to his skill set. Brandon Spike doesn't have a position change.
Yeah,
he has to
go
do
anywhere.
The exact same thing and do it the exact same way and do it at an NFL level.
But that's odd because that's the part of it that I actually think is less likely
kind of like moving guys
to not fit.
Yeah.
You know,
you'd rather see them move to try to fit?
No, Andy is saying he'd rather see them move because they have something to fall back on. If they can't do this, they can go back and maybe move and have something to fall back. If it doesn't work for Spikes as a guard, run stuffing inside linebacker, he can't play anywhere else.
Right. He can't play special teams. He can't do anything.
But I think that the fact that he is going to be doing exactly, what he did, I think serves well.
I just thought he'll be spiking his volleyball player girl.
Oh, that's really.
I thought that was going to serve Wheatley well, but anyway,
damaged goods. A lot of people are worried now about that damaged goods philosophy kind of taking over with Wheatley and the
Gronkowski. We have gotten a lot of emails about
these damaged goods guys that end up breaking down because
even someone wrote in about Cunningham, because of the shoulder. I don't think that's that.
But everybody has. I mean, most people have something in their history.
This time of year, we're all banged up.
It's true, especially Paul.
Let's see. Strippers gives us some rookie jersey numbers so far. Brandon Spikes will be 55. Ooh, that's. Are we sure about that?
I don't know.
Why?
Well, because that was McGinnis' number and then Sayow's number.
And Sayow's not here anymore.
I know, but usually maybe
it's a special number, Paul. USC to New England.
It's a
special
number.
55
for a linebacker. No, Paul says no. He shakes his head.
I don't. I am saying no.
It was special for those two guys because they happen to be USC guys.
Well, right. The last guy that wore 55 was Junior Seau, Hall of Famer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but not for us. I would agree with you if Seau's career that he had was with the Patriots.
Yeah.
But otherwise, you're talking about...
Next number.
Zoltan Mesko will be number 6.
Oh,
yes.
Are we all right with that? Are we sure? That was Chris Hansen. Are we sure about
that? That pretty much seals the deal that he's not coming back. Huh?
Yeah.
He will not be veteran competition.
Right. Running the strippers. I don't know where he's getting from.
Probably from Mike Reese.
We probably put the release out, and Mike Reese probably posted it on the blog.
The mini camp roster.
Devin
McCourty.
Devin McCourty.
That we put the release out, and Mike Reese probably has it on his
21.
No.
Do we have 21?
Fred Taylor.
Yeah,
Fred Taylor.
Yeah.
22. Yeah. In the
Think Murderer.
26.
What?
Think Murderer. A famous murderer had this number.
O.J. Simpson.
Right. 32.
Really?
So did Antoine Smith.
I was going 26.
And Rob Gronkowski will be
48. Not 48.
No.
45.
84.
Who was the last
46.
Great tight end?
87.
Coast. That's correct.
Wow.
87. So.
That's good.
It is good.
I like it. The security blanket that Tom Brady gets will wear the same number as
What
the
about your guy
blanket.
Taylor Price? What does he get?
What about my guy Price?
It wasn't listed.
23?
18.
And Mike Reese, of course, tweeted the jersey numbers.
18 is available.
You want to apologize?
18 is available?
In my mind, it is.
Oh, yeah.
Rip it right off his back. Nice guy.
Not quite yet.
All right.
But we'll be.
We have a
Don't
lot,
pay any money for that one.
We
you
have
can
a
get
lot of content coming up on Patriots.com, Patriots Today's, photos, blogs.
Newspaper.
Newspaper. The rookie minicamp is coming up tomorrow. Bill Belichick will be live on Patriots.com. So it's a busy day and a...
And Saturday, too.
Busy weekend. On Patriots.com.
And Fred threw up on his mic.
I just burped up an Italian sub.
Oy.
All right. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next Tuesday.
Listeners all over the world are discovering PFW in progress.
Oh, my God. What the f*** is this?
Patriots.com radio.